So.
So anyway, this is episode something of Crippled System.
63?
Copy form.
63.
Welcome.
That's good. They're both divisible by 3. That makes some good numbers.
And 21. And speaking of 21, we are all over 21.
Segway! So it's only taken us 63 episodes to actually bring alcohol onto the podcast.
On air.
Yep. And I have to do a little backstory here. I don't normally listen to other podcasts. Clockwork Box, getting to you soon. Promise. but Miami posted their like new little thing, so I listened to an hour of it, thought it was done, realized there was an hour left and turned it off. But they did a Katie's Corner incorrectly, because they did one about beer. I don't understand that. And two, they had an expert on there talking about it, as opposed to somebody who's like, well, let's try some, do 30 seconds of research, and then spit that out for the masses to enjoy. Which is really, well, not the vodka. We'll be drinking
that.
Yeah,
don't spit the vodka out.
Yeah. We'll be spitting out information that may or may not be valid.
Vodka? That's the first time you mentioned it.
Vodka. So
that's because that's a Katie's Corner.
Katie's Corner is about vodka today. It is my favorite alcoholic beverage in the world. Mixed with anything can be delicious. I brought 3 kinds of vodka that were all in my freezer because I'm an alcoholic when it comes to vodka. We have Grey Goose.
When it comes to vodka.
I'm like a chocoholic, but for booze. Yeah. Great Onion article.
We have Black Cherry Effin, and then we have Svedka. So they all range in
price. I don't
think
you mentioned the first one. You pointed at it and moved it to the side and didn't mention it existing.
Oh, Grey Goose, which I'm actually going to let Nathan tell you the story of Grey Goose and how it's delicious.
Well, should I do it now?
Yeah, you should do it now.
I've never actually drunk Grey Goose, so everything I know is
right,
from this interview.
Let's start with the Grey Goose.
Which is, I'll tell this. So the guy who founded Grey Goose, he got filthy rich off of Grey Goose vodka, and then he sold it and got even more filthy rich because everybody pays too much for Grey Goose vodka. And then years later, somebody interviewed him, and they said, how are you so successful? And he said, I made really crappy vodka and charged too much for it, so people assumed it was good.
This is the reason why we need to have a video cast as well.
We'll do that. We're working on that.
We're getting there.
So,
you poured me half a shot.
Yeah, well there's going to be 3 shots
more.
In like 3 minutes. Yeah.
That is true.
Did you see the size of that last bottle?
That's a good point.
Yeah. I like the last bottle.
Yeah, we're not getting into all 3 of these are empty.
I like there's like 2 wine bottles and like a 2 liter of vodka.
it's a 2 liter of vodka.
It is. Well,
excuse you, it's a magnum.
So here's the thing. Grey Goose ranges in middle of these two prices. Effin is the most expensive. Grey Goose is the middle.
The one that comes in the 2 liter bottle is the cheapest? Yes. Do tell.
Yeah, right.
I'm surprised this bottle isn't plastic.
All right, so.
They were classy.
Bottoms
people.
Up. All right.
Sound effects of drinking. See, I'm not drinking because I don't like alcohol.
I actually don't think that's that bad. I mean, it's got a little bit of a burn to it. I'm not saying it's perfectly smooth.
So, yeah.
It's not bad.
A good vodka.
Meh.
Give me your shot glass back. We'll rinse with 7-Up.
A good vodka, when you taste it, it'll go down smooth and there won't be an afterburn to it.
It should be almost flavorless is what I've been told. I'm not a big vodka guy, but I've heard that it's if you got perfect vodka, it would just be like water.
Correct.
When I did drink, I got the most sick off vodka.
Generally,
it's an ingredient that you shouldn't really taste when it's in a mixed drink.
Right. Correct. Well, and the higher the alcohol content, the more likely you are to taste the mixer as opposed to the alcohol.
Yeah.
Right. The better, more high proof the vodka is, the less you taste it.
Right.
That is true.
That tasted awesome with my 7-Up.
Next, we'll do the Svedka.
Okay. Nobody else had more comments about the Grey Goose?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was all right. It wasn't the best. It had a very smooth beginning taste, not a very smooth aftertaste.
Okay.
The other thing that I learned when I was doing my 30 seconds of research was that Poland and Russia are fighting over who invented vodka, and I like to think it was the Poles because I am Polish.
Wow.
And also,
much more than before.
There's more of it.
Apparently, I lost my motor.
It's relative.
He's pouring it based on what percentage of the bottle is coming out. And so that bottle is twice as big, so you get twice as much.
It's a heavier bottle. It's hard to accurately pour.
That's one.
Everyone bitched about the size of the first pour, so I increased the size.
By everyone, you mean one person, and he was joking?
But wait, I wasn't done. Vodka is the national drink of Poland, or was in the 17th or 18th century, which I thought was exciting. Bottoms up.
You don't remember which century?
Doesn't matter. They made their national drink an alcoholic drink.
Yeah. And that's why we have a 2 liter of that one.
Oh. I would not be a fan of vodka if this is the only vodka I had drunk.
It's not very good.
Better or worse than the Grey Goose?
The Grey Goose? Oh, shit, there's some left.
I would... No, definitely the... I like the Grey Goose more than that one.
It's like medicine.
Let's get you a chaser.
Yeah, please do. If that was the first vodka I'd ever drunk in my life, I'd be like, oh, okay, so I'm never drinking vodka again.
So I will say...
Like, I'm not offended that it existed, but I...
I will say, I've had both in mixed drinks, and in a mixed drink, when you're not shooting it, I can't tell the difference between the two. And however, most in a shot, there is definitely a difference.
And most people don't take shots of vodka.
Like, not generally, no.
only idiots that have a podcast. Only hardcore podcasters.
Yeah. Hey, Brian is our designated podcaster. For you guys at home, and I'm so excited because I love vodka so much.
So,
all right, but Katie...
Next week, can we do this with pie? Because I love pie.
Sure.
Well, usually I can tell you've been more busy with work and the puppy because usually every Facebook post is like, I need some wine.
So it's wine time.
All right, so Katie, you had mentioned something to me about your research that you haven't brought up yet, and it was about how they claim they invented vodka.
Oh, they left wine in the distillery too long. It turned into vodka.
Well, now we're back down to normal levels?
I would sure think so, yes.
I don't know. I didn't read the whole thing.
I didn't read the whole article, so this is what she remembers.
I skimmed it.
I thought vodka was like potato-based. And
hey, interesting fact. Oh, most vodkas are not made out of potatoes. They are, in fact, made out of corn, like everything else. So that's exciting.
But wine's not made out of corn.
No, it's not.
So that still doesn't link with the wine thing. So
they said that the... like, the FDA definition of vodka isn't anything that it's made out of. It's like a neutral, clear liquid that comes off the distillery at, like, 190 proof. That's the definition.
190 proof?
I think you mean 160.
So it's like moonshine.
It was 160. It was 190.
Oh, well, that's not what you told me earlier.
Well, so I don't know.
These are only 40 proof. Or 80 proof. 80 proof, because it's twice alcohol.
They were 190.
These are 80 proof.
So...
So, okay.
190 proof would be 95% pure alcohol.
Correct.
Yeah, so then they mix it with, like, water and stuff to make it not as strong. I don't know how alcohol works.
It's possible because that she's also misremembering the number, because this is how you do a Katie's Corner.
This is how you do Katie's Corner. You're uninformed, and you're trying to teach the masses.
So then you take your stones, and you teleport, I don't know, 10 or 12 inches-ish.
At least you didn't say over 200 proof. Like 200, it was 230 over 200, proof.
Yeah, then we would have all known she was bat-faced lying.
No, I really think it was 190. But anyway, the point is, the definition of vodka is really, really unclear, so it can be made out of pretty much anything.
Get it? Unclear?
Anyway, Effin, which is the last one, is my personal favorite. We're drinking a deviant...
Flavored.
What's it when it's a deviation?
Sure.
Of the original flavors.
Alternate.
So this is black cherry, so it's a little less proof. But it's delicious, and it'll be super smooth. You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? That was enjoyable.
No, that was very good.
That goes down smooth.
That was very good.
So when I start drinking in 3 months, I'll have some of that.
Yes, you should. Anyone want a chaser for that one?
I will have a chaser mixed with that one.
That didn't really taste like black cherry as much as I was expecting from the name. Like, I thought it would actually be, like, cherry flavor.
So, if you want, I'll mix a little bit with a Sprite, because the black cherry comes out more when it's mixed, I've noticed.
Right.
Interesting.
Which is weird, and then the best thing is there's so many mixers. Like, Cosmos have vodka in them. And then anything you want to mix with vodka is also delicious.
Here's an exhaustive list of mixers. Cosmos, anything else.
So... Interesting story that I heard. I don't know if it was on a recent podcast by somebody else, but they were talking about when they were kids, when you're kids, you steal alcohol from your parents and then you fill it up with water afterwards.
Sure. What?
Well, that's a thing that happens. So one of the things that they did is they stole the vodka from the freezer.
And then filled it with water?
They filled it back up with water. And so the parents come back the next day. I was like, because all the water froze in it.
Right.
Yeah. And the rest was just vodka.
I probably shouldn't have yet another shot of vodka.
I think you should.
Be very interesting. Next is battle reports. Jordan was a dick to me. That's my battle report.
Probably announcements.
Announcements.
Announcements. Also, Jeremy was just about to encourage you to drink more, and let's just remember that when she gets drunk, she tells stories about you, so maybe you don't want her to
not
drink more.
Not always about me. She might bring up stories about the three of you.
I don't know
she
enough.
She could bring up some sort of fetish.
She doesn't know my fetishes.
Yeah.
Yours aren't legal, so we don't want to.
That's true. None of us want to know. We want plausible denying.
Yeah. You want a list of my fetishes, grab a dictionary.
Just grab a dictionary.
That's it. That was done. I was done talking.
So do we have announcements?
Really, he just reads random words for you.
Little D at the dog den. He's making a new friend.
Wow.
And he got
announcements.
He's making a new friend.
All right, this is going to be his podcast. I apologize for
we
the
apologize
next,
for Katie in advance.
45 minutes to an hour, whatever okay. whatever
Sorry.
Happens.
Katie was showing me puppy pictures.
That's true, she was.
He got tired.
All right, announcements.
There are tournaments coming up like
forever. Next weekend.
Next weekend.
Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa has a 50-point three-list event.
Three-list optional.
Three-list optional.
Although yeah. we're all planning to bring three-lists, I think.
Yeah.
No.
You can't bring three dwarf casters, so you're all out.
Well, I think anyone played in Adepticon wants to bring three-lists.
Yes, so those of us that are going to try to qualify to Adepticon are bringing
I'm going
to
bring Ikaya. I've never played her before. I don't own the model. I'm going to be substituting that model. Thank you in advance for letting me do that, Billy. You're amazing.
Katie, what? You're talking to the guy who has every single caster in the game.
Fine. I'll do it legally.
This is why we need a video podcast, right? Because that was an amazing quote. And face.
Also the face. So that's Cedar Rapids on the 22nd.
There's an event in Chicago that sold out on the 29th. So
yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's sold out. There's a I'll bring it up now, but we're getting a copy of a game that's going to be put onto Kickstarter soon called Foretold. Kickstarter's going to launch in a week or two, I think, and we're getting a test copy of it. The person who runs Legion Games, who has a game store in Twin Cities and runs Legion, they sell like he runs Magic tournaments. And he sells a bunch of the card boxes you buy at Misty or a bunch of places. Oh. He makes all those card boxes. He makes a bunch of card sleeves, card boxes. The company's Legion.
Okay.
I don't know if the company's making the Foretold or if it's just him and some friends, but he owns a company and does a bunch of stuff. Okay. So we're getting a prototype. He wants us to play two or three games and then talk about it on the podcast. Hopefully we like it, or it'd be a very awkward thing. We played it.
We played this
about
game.
It. So who knows?
That happened.
He's a pretty smart guy, though. I have confidence his game.
It's always fun to try something new, too.
So yeah, so that'll be a thing.
Well, then he probably wants like honest feedback. Like it wasn't fun because of X.
Yeah, no. I mean, we're not going to say it's dumb and just throw it in the garbage. We'll say like that was stupid. Send it back.
Well, you got to light it on fire, yeah.
I love burning things. High five.
X makes most things fun. Actually, everything's better on X.
So earlier, Andy was like, "I don't remember my vodka mist versus my Coke mix."
Myths.
And of course, Brian and I thought he meant cocaine, and he just meant Coca-Cola. It's very disappointing.
So another announcement, too, that got missed is up in Minneapolis at Tower Games. There's another tournament happening next weekend.
No sons of bitches.
Oh, wow. The 29th?
Nope, on the 22nd.
So this weekend.
I messaged Jamie.
So whatever. This weekend.
Okay. Let me make... On the 22nd...
This weekend.
Coming up soon.
Next.
Yes. There will be a tournament in Minnesota.
Unless we forget, Adepticon is the first weekend in April. For any of you that have been sleeping under
when
a rock
are you guys
for
going
now?
Are you guys going down Wednesday night?
Wednesday noon.
Oh, okay.
The thing is we want to make sure we get registered because they're saying that they're not guaranteeing you will get through the line Thursday morning and still make it for the first qualifier.
Oh, that's exciting.
And that would be unacceptable. So we're going Wednesday noon to make sure we get our passes Wednesday night.
Yes, go if you have a tournament early Thursday morning, go there early. Wednesday night,
which was funny. We didn't mention that very well last week on our Adepticon podcast.
Yeah, it was our Adepticon.
No, we did mention that. Yep.
And the other thing too is there's when they open the doors for the initial sign in, it's you don't be there because there's people who are getting badges for some other kind of thing as well. So you want to wait to like maybe you know let the first couple hours go. As long as you do Wednesday night, but you don't need to be the first. Yeah.
When does
the
it
gate.
Open Wednesday night? Do we actually have that information?
More importantly, when does it close Wednesday?
That also would
be because you know if I can get there at 8 and it closes at 9, you know I don't need to be there Wednesday noon.
Travis will post in our thread, right? Travis, good job. He'll post in our
thread. Hi, Travis. You're in my phone as Travis Sam. You're welcome.
Katie, you interrupted Jeremy. He was talking.
I gave him the dog clicker.
Nice. Travis or I will post in the thread when it opens and when it closes Wednesday so that information is there. Hopefully Travis.
Hey, dog lickers are a really good way to train your fluffy friend. They like the sound. And it's like 25 cents at Petco.
It is. Also works with ferrets also. Any smart enough pet.
They've actually done studies. It works on cockroaches too.
That's gross.
Like to smash them?
To train them. But yes, you could also smash them with it.
Is
it
training? Did you see the videos of the geckos and cockroaches flipping over? So like there's this video like that geckos and cockroaches are unique in that what they can do is they can like run up a slant and then the end of the slant they just keep going and they keep walking into the sky until their hind legs are in there and then they just spin 180 degrees and slap onto the bottom and just scurry back. Like they just do this like pendulum
thing.
Because
they have little hooks on their claws.
They have like little hooks on their hind claws to just do this run, pendulum, run away. So to prove that this was how they were doing it, they took the cockroaches and removed those little claws. Oh. And so they have videos of these cockroaches running up and then flipping over and falling on their ass and just like flailing their legs. They're like, what happened?
When I read this, I thought really gross because somebody had to touch a cockroach.
That would be gross.
One time when Jeremy and I were at the subway station, I saw a cockroach and I'd been wearing high heels for a really long time and so my feet hurt so that I made him carry me the rest of the way home.
Because she didn't want to put her heels on and she also didn't want to be barefoot anywhere cockroaches existed.
Good point.
Which are fair points.
He walked like a mile and a half with me on his back.
Interesting fact about cockroaches is that they do die to radiation, so they will not be the last things remaining after a nuclear explosion.
Twinkies also have like a 6-month shelf life.
Yeah, they do not last forever.
A little known survival story falsehoods.
Yeah, check out all the pictures of the rotten Twinkies after the great Twinkie crisis.
Also, whoa. Cockroaches are the basis of one of my favorite Freddy Krueger killings.
All right, then.
There you go. In the Walking Dead, they've been in the post-apocalyptic world for like 4 years, 3 or 4 years, and they found some diet soda, and they were drinking it. And I don't know if you've ever had diet soda go expire. You don't drink diet. If it's like a month past expiration, you throw that away.
Soda.
Yeah, any soda, but diet soda is even worse. I mean, all soda after a month is bad, but diet
soda. They're so acidic, they'd eat through the can, and they get infected and stuff, and even then, of all the chemicals in it.
So they're just like drinking that, like, you know, 4-year-old diet soda. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to. I can believe in zombies, but I can't believe in that soda.
Is it really 3 or 4 years old?
I
think it's only like a year and a half.
I thought that it just made it like not as tasteful.
It might be 2 years.
It breaks down.
I'm going to have to look at this.
But there's people who still have Crystal Pepsi that they buy off the internet and drink.
Yep, I've seen people buy Surge offline, too. I don't know if they drank it.
Well, stuff that was dangerous.
We'll bury some diet soda in Katie's backyard. Awesome. We'll wait 5 years. We'll dig it up and drink it.
You don't have to bury it. You can just wait 5 years.
Nope. We're going to bury it. It's more fun.
your device to travel to the future is to bury it.
Yep.
Bury it. And it's safe if it's buried. Safe. Yeah.
Or Malcolm will dig it up. Something. Go, ooh, present.
Malcolm would probably dig it up.
All right. I am going to the website Eat by Date. So this is probably pretty promising.
Awesome. All right, while she's doing that, any other announcements?
No. So not soon.
This coming weekend, there's Cedar Rapids and Tower Games. Yep. Next weekend, there's Chicago, but it's sold out, so it's irrelevant. And then the weekend after that, it's Adepticon.
Correct. And if you're holding an event for War Machine in the Midwest and it's not Adepticon, you're an idiot. No one's going to be there.
And I'm taking in April, besides Adepticon, and then end of April, there is another Cedar Rapids event. I'm taking the rest of the month off for like a board
I
game
actually
weekends.
Have 2 weekends off as well.
If you guys want us to talk about any kind of event, you can email us at podcast@crippledsystem.com.
Yep.
Also, don't forget, we still accept yoga pictures, yoga pant pictures.
From the last time that happened, girls, it was disastrous. Is my understanding.
Well, you know. I figure that the free market will take care of it, and the percentage will be high enough.
No, I wasn't. Someone sent us some good yoga pictures. We were going back and forth.
Yeah. I think it was Stuart that sent the bad ones.
Probably.
That's
probably
him.
Yeah. He's a wild man, out of control.
Flesh colored yoga pants on plus size women is not. It's an optical illusion that is not pleasant.
I have seen a disturbing trend of yoga pants on large women, and it's
because yoga pants are sexy. Large women want to feel sexy.
No,
so large
that's
women
not
wear
it.
Yoga
you guys
pants.
Haven't worn yoga pants. Are really, really comfortable. They're just comfortable.
Don't tell me I haven't worn yoga pants.
Have you worn yoga pants?
Maybe.
Have you?
Yes.
Yes.
Don't judge me.
Are you sure?
Have you seen the shoes he wears? For God's sake, of course he wears yoga pants.
So you know that they're really, really comfortable. Just because somebody doesn't want to see you in them doesn't mean you don't want to wear them. Also, sometimes they're see-through. You should be aware.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, this says that an unopened can of Coke lasts for 6 to 9 months after the printed date. But it doesn't say what happens.
Well, the printed date goes, the expiration date goes for...
Oh, it says, it is not harmful to drink soda if the bubbles begin to diminish and then eventually disappear, but it will taste flat. That's all it says.
So it tastes bad, but it doesn't hurt you.
If you look up, that's just
right. It's also, I mean, just eventually sugar. It's going to eat through the can. I mean,
I well, that's true.
A lot of
that's
times it's just sugar water too, and it that will last too.
Not the diet soda. Diet soda is aspartame water.
Well, it also goes with the same people that save their cake for like 10 years for a wedding.
That's in a freezer though. That's different.
Also, and
it's one dumb. Year.
Is it 1 year?
It's 1 year.
I see people save them for longer.
Tradition's 1 year.
Okay, here's the thing. It says, however, there is some proof that aspartame, the fake sugar in diet sodas, starts to dissolve the cans themselves, and that's why expired Diet Coke tastes so metallic-like. So you're drinking dissolved metal, which can be harmful. But normal soda, it just is
flat. That's why I said diet soda.
I don't think they had diet soda in there. It was just generic cola is what they had
in diet
the Walking
cola.
Dead. Are you sure it was diet?
It was diet cola.
I don't think it was diet.
It was diet cola.
It wasn't diet.
Oh, my God.
All right, so this is what our listeners demand, is to hear about diet soda.
We've been too on topic lately.
I have heard that from them.
Oh, also, when I wanted to say suck it, but didn't know how to put a GIF on the Miami Vice thing.
GIF.
Somebody put that on there for me, and it was super cool, and thank you.
And it was a psych GIF, too.
Yeah! I was super stoked.
Well done. Katie, I'm always your Huckleberry, though. I have literally thousands of animated GIFs on my computer.
I don't know how to put them on the thingy.
We could show you.
She's really good.
I don't know. That sounds like really not my job. I can just say I don't know how to do this, and somebody post it for me. That sounds
You're
amazing.
You're a girl. People will do stuff for you.
That's true.
This is very reminiscent of the night that you brought alcohol down to Pegasus Games.
Wasn't that fun?
I enjoyed myself.
It was entertaining as hell.
The best was when Raylene figured out, like, we went to 7-Eleven and got
no
a reusable.
There was no more effing left in that cake.
No, there was not. We went to 7-Eleven and got a Slurpee, and I got one of those, like, reusable ones that we can go and refill.
Sure.
And so for a couple weeks, I would make margaritas and put that into that.
Nice.
And so people just thought it was a 7-Eleven Slurpee, and it was a whole bunch of alcohol. So Raylene was much happier coming into Pegasus with me those few
weeks.
That
would help.
Hey, Raylene and I should touch base. I also find I play much better when I've been drinking.
You do. There's a curve. Like, your game improves up to a certain point, and then you're physically incapable of playing the game. Like, it's a curve.
Hey, Teenage and I should find that curve at Adepticon on Saturday.
You have to actually be there.
If I come down, maybe I will. Can Raylene watch the dog on Adepticon Day?
Probably. I think we just talked about this.
No, we talked about Cedar Rapids Day.
Probably.
I can't leave a puppy unsupervised outside. I can leave him
out. Just some wild. He'll be fine.
He'll pee all over the house. His bladder's only this big. Yeah. So
just leave him outside.
Jordan,
that's fine.
Let's talk about how Jordan was a dick to me.
All right. How was Jordan a dick to you?
Wait. We're now beginning our tournament recap of the tournament held at Pegasus Games yesterday. Katie, how was your tournament?
I didn't play, but Jordan was still a dick because I came out for lunch. And I was like, two things. I was like, one, I have to get up at 5:30 to let the puppy out to pee. No, thank you. And he was like, my dog doesn't pee. And I was like, well, mine's a puppy, so.
His dog doesn't pee? Like, in general?
Like, ever.
In the house.
Oh, okay.
Which is also not true.
But my point is, he was comparing his 4-year-old dog's bladder control to my 6-month-old puppy's bladder control. And he was like, well, the dog will just learn if you let it pee all over itself. So it's like, that's really just punishing me, because then I have to clean the dog and the cage. And then he made a fat joke, but I had already made that fat joke, so he is not very.
You made it first. I was thinking just when he made it. I just said, like,
she made it about me.
I made it about Jeremy, Jordan made the same joke about me. He called me fat, and two, he recycled my joke.
See, I only heard. I didn't realize you recycled.
What was
it.
The fat joke?
So we were comparing Papa Bear's barbecue, all of which is delicious, for the record.
Everybody and go there that time.
It's amazing. And I was saying I prefer the beef brisket because it's less fatty than the rib tips.
And I said, but I like fatty things because I had it and I
tickled his tummy.
And then he was like, "Aw." And I said, "But that was saying that I like you." See, it was like a cute little couple thing. I think.
Yeah, sure.
Plus, I can call my husband fat.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a girl, as it turns out.
And the one thing you don't do, the divergence books. You don't call women fat.
Never.
At all.
Ever.
Ever.
There are two things you never say to a woman. When are you due? And you look fat in that. Those are the two things you never, ever say to a woman. Because they're both the same thing.
I want a t-shirt that says, has a picture of Jeremy's face that says, you look fat in that.
The big thing is, like, yeah, you never ask a woman when the baby's due unless the baby is currently crowning. Right. Like, then you can verify, that's a baby's face. You are indeed pregnant.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Doesn't true. Matter if she's buying a stroller. Because the instant you're like, oh, what's your baby do? I'm just fat. My sister's pregnant. Fuck you. Like, you don't want to open that can of worms.
Nope. No, that's terrible.
So anyway, then he... So, Jordan, you're a dick.
Well, so I think with Jordan with me is, so you guys got the
I got the brisket.
Which was really good. And last time we had a tournament that I ran, he went and got me food. He brought me back those damn rib tips, which are even that.
Which are like fatty as hell.
I know.
I like fatty meat.
He brought it to me, and I'm like,
I like the rib tips.
They're okay, but I wanted to go because I was like, well, I'll just take care of you. I'll get it for free. I'm like, whatever. So you bring, and I ate it. It was fine, but it's just compared to like the beef brisket. It's
the beef brisket's amazing.
Yeah.
You know. And then he gives me this.
A beef brisket guy. Like, I always like the pork, like the rib tips.
It's actually pork brisket.
Oh, okay. Pork brisket or beef, any kind
it's
of
not,
brisket.
It's not beef. I kept calling it beef brisket because it's brisket.
He corrected you.
He corrected me. The guy in Papa Bear's, I was like, I want the beef brisket. He's like, it's pork. I said, amazing. I want that.
I want meat brisket.
Yeah. Andy and I went brisket. The Beard Off on Saturday.
Which I still blame you for me missing, by the way. But so shame on you.
The point is, beforehand, we stopped. There was a new barbecue place down the street, and I stopped there and I got a sandwich. Ooh. And of course, they had pulled pork sandwiches with coleslaw in the sandwich, which is the correct way to eat a pulled pork sandwich.
That is actually true.
No, you put Do you not like coleslaw in general?
No.
Because
not.
The crisp, acidic, creamy, that coleslaw bites through the barbecue, and it makes just an amazing.
I don't like coleslaw, but he is right that is a good way to do a pulled pork sandwich.
That place that we went to was actually really, really. Where is it that? Looks really
a pulled
good.
Pork it's sandwich on right on the corner.
Yes,
I'll show you one on Madison.
Show me later.
It I bought a thing of Papa Bear's barbecue sauce.
Do you remember?
It's delicious.
We'll talk about it.
Anyway, barbecue, right. So you're talking... Oh, the event happened.
Oh, yeah. How did you do?
Andy ran it.
I ran it.
Only three
of us. I won.
You won running the event?
I won.
It was a successful event. Good job.
I took on Menoth John in a ship captain crew.
Menoth John tried to convince me he's not that grumpy, and he's kind of a little bit grumpy.
He is a grumpy Gus. Also, rum chata apparently tastes like eggnog with cinnamon in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay then.
It's a milky drink. So, but anyway, so I took on Math John in ship captain crew,
and
no, in standard tradition, standard Andy tradition, I run up the pot and I ran up the pot three times because nobody qualified, and then I rolled a 12.
Nice. Hey, that's skill.
It is skill. In fact, I even said this. Like, this is what I do. 12. I run up the pot and then I do. And I rolled it.
That's true. I've seen him do that.
And then you told him to suck it.
So
and somebody
he won the ship captain
crew
tournament, which is apparently a side tournament I was not participating in.
Well, that's because no one wanted you to... You were busy.
I was busy. Brian was busy, too. Do you want to talk about your tournament, Brian, or no?
Three rounds event. I played...
Three
lists, four rounds. I played my Xerxes list, which I've mentioned a million times. I did make a change because a lot of people online are like... I take Tiberian Gladiator, which I like Tiberian Gladiator, but they're like, you should take the Arcadon in a Gladiator. You can add in another unit of Accurarii. And like enough people said it, and I'm like, you know what? My list I've tried hasn't lost a game. I'm going to try another variant out because it's not quite Adepticon. I tried it out, and round one I got to face Menoth John, which he was funny because before, and he's like, I do not want to face Brian no matter what I do, and then first round he gets me. And then he's afraid of my Xerxes list, which I drop on. I haven't seen...
He was playing Rhett, by the way.
He was playing Rhett, and I wanted my Xerxes list to face Rhett before Adepticon to see how it would go. And I knew he had a sign plus two other things, but I knew he was going to drop a sign. I'm playing Scorn, I'm going to get a sign. 100% of the time, unless my opponent makes a mistake.
Why would you get Ossian?
Because he can crack armor better than anyone else in
Rhett
armor.
Can't crack enough armor to deal with Scorn unless it's Ossian.
And I have all armor skew lists, so I knew he was going to throw that at me. The game, I actually ended up losing, but the list performed well. It was a combination of having the Arcadon in the list, which was a mistake.
Still losing that.
And a mistake I made.
So you disagree with the internet's
Yeah, I'm going back to my... If I had Tiberian, making the mistake I did, I would have won with Tiberian. Because Tiberian's just Tiberian.
Right.
So I'm going back to that. Hi, Katie. Yes.
In general...
You seem to be losing a lot of round ones. How does that make you feel?
I feel like I have a case of the... either it's tennis elbow or yips. I have War Machine yips.
You know what you need to call losing the first round? The opponent Des Moines.
For the fun of the morning. Well, I'm trying to be like those guys. They are pretty good at it, so I'm trying to copy them in all things.
Well, it's the best way to go 3-1 is to lose in the first round.
Takes all the pressure off.
I was going to say, that's like a former Shea move.
Yeah, that's how I roll, man. Yeah. I used to, for the longest time, I could go 3-1 as long as I lost that first round hard, and then I could just roll into the loser's bracket like a boss. That's how I did for a long time.
Oh, yeah, and we forgot to mention in Cedar Rapids, we are having a collision course. Unless the unless Des Moines does duck us, we have all round one matchups will be Madison versus Des Moines. Which actually will mean all, the Cedar Rapids guys.
Cedar Rapids guys be playing each other?
Yeah. But we've called out all the Des Moines guys. Jeremy gets Keith.
I get Keith because I'm going to show him what happened when you smack talk me.
I want Shad.
Oh, okay. I didn't know everything was assigned.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you I think you mean death clock.
Yeah.
Apparently, I have Crump, which will be interesting because he'll have to talk to me for the first time.
Yeah, and it'll be and I figured that'd be a battle of the women. Yeah. So I get that going.
I called the bye.
So who am I getting? Am I
getting John? Then?
You got John.
Guys are the producers.
It'll be a
matchup
for him.
Well, there's also Colin. Maybe Nathan will get Colin, and also we got Dan coming, and we got
they're not on the podcast.
Yeah, but they're still.
Yeah, but
fight.
They're still Madison guys.
I think they've been on the they have all been on the podcast.
I perfectly believe that it should be Jeremy and Crump.
No, we went.
I don't
no,
disagree. Keith but the called thing out is, Jeremy. Keith called me out.
Keith, yeah. called,
Keith has said on two different threads. If he had just been there, and on his podcast, if he had just been there, I would not have won.
Hey, and no, that's fine. I think you can win because Keith hasn't been able to win shit lately.
Well, I really wish he listened to this podcast.
Well, is Jamie your new bestie now? Is that how it goes?
Hey, I am just letting him know so he can take that and be like, you know what, bestie? I do need to win more so that you can be proud of me. That's what he's thinking.
Yeah, see, it's funny because we can say anything we want about those guys because they don't listen to our podcast. We don't listen to theirs. They don't listen to us.
I think Colin does.
Because Colin's a good guy.
I think Colin has to. They make him do.
Your job is to go listen to the other shitty podcasts on our network.
And so after he listens to Road to War, then he listens to us.
No, Road to War is not
Road
on their network.
Not on the network anymore.
Oh, damn it.
But he still listens to them.
I love
that's why we need a video.
I love that Chili updated his Facebook photo, yep. And people are like, why? You know, they're like, hey, look, it's a new picture of Lyle.
Yep.
Like, I love that that's a thing now.
It is a thing now.
You're so pretty,
it's beautiful.
Well, I got in there fairly early, and I was going to post, and, like, the second post was meant off John, saying, why is Lyle in that picture? I was like, damn it, John!
So that was my first round.
Hey, this Battleport is more interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Round two, I took on, I always forget his name, he is Zach. Zach from Milwaukee. He used to play a lot of Zergo.
He's very skinny.
Yes, and now he's playing Signar. He got to face my new fun Resheth list, which is double Titan Sentries.
Yep.
With a bronze back in the middle, followed up by a Titan Gladiator, followed up by Gatorman, followed up by Doesn't Matter.
Followed by Miserableness.
That list actually was brought to me by his Paddles from Australia.
Oh, yeah.
I chat me and Paddles and another, actually Josh Simpson from St. Louis have been chatting a lot on the Muse
thread. That thread is like a love fest between the three of you. Like, I'm pretty sure the three of you are in love with
each
other.
Does Jordan know about this? Because he might be jealous.
Yeah, no, it's basically the three of us. Just we spent the last 2 months just like throwing all of our thoughts at Scorn. But he gave me that. I mean, I've played Resheth for over years. I'm always up for trying someone else's style. Man, that double, I basically shoved that army right down the Signar's throat. And he just
what caster was he playing?
He was playing Picane.
Picane, okay.
He was playing not good.
He had one chance. If he would have, Picane has a Thunderstrike spell. Or yep. If he would have knocked my bronze back into my Kree, he might have killed the Kree early, but he missed the spell. And then
Thunderstrike's a slam, not a push?
It's a slam.
I thought it was a push.
No, it's a really good spell, but he missed.
Wow.
It missed, and then it missed
the Death 12 Sentry. Yeah.
And that missing, his whole game fell apart after that. So yeah. That was round two. Round three, I took on a local Rick who played. I was. It's three lists. Each play each list once. I was locked in the Mortar Car list, which I was fine with. He played as Epic Rusk, my favorite Cater caster. He plays him with heavy infantry spam.
Man of War
spam.
Crazy Man of
War. I have decided. I've realized that when I roll two dice, six is the number I fear most, and when I roll three dice, eight is the number I fear most. I went for a caster kill on him. I Essence Blast and Arcanine on him, left him with like 8 life. Then I went to Essence Blast my Gladiator. I basically put both Beasts next to his caster. I ran them both. I was going to do 2 Essence Blasts and just kill him. And I missed an 8 on the second Essence Blast and I lost the game. I was like, oops.
Hey, we said one time on this podcast that if your game hinges on a roll die, you're not a very good player. Yeah. How does that make you feel?
Take away the vodka from Katie.
I'm sorry, Brian.
On a roll die?
You're so pretty.
On a dice roll is dice what roll. She meant.
What did I say?
Roll die.
It's the same thing.
Roll tide.
Yeah. I still report. Like my mortar car list. It keeps failing on me, but as a combination, when you that's the fun of a three list. Like when you for I brought my Rosheth list was designed to fight a lot of hordes. There was only two hordes players. I was one of them.
Yep.
And my Mordekar list was there for Kricks, which are, there was a couple of Kricks here, but I just didn't I didn't bump into them.
Yeah.
And I had an armor skew list. So if
and a lot of anti-Kricks lists are good against Kador. That is one of the problems historically Kador has run into is the counter Kricks lists answer them really well.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
So after I lost that game, I then made it a declaration that my next opponent, I'm going to shove Xerxes so far up his ass, he's going to come out of his mouth.
And did that happen?
And then I got part of it with local Josh, and I sat down, and then I put my army through his army, and then Xerxes one shot at Ashland.
Yeah, that was
Xerxes will do that.
Yeah. After I heard
combo striker.
Yeah, combo striker. Nice. On his feet turn. It was his.
On the feet turn?
Yeah.
I remember last year when you found out that combo strike, you still got, like you were just doing it with, like, your strength or whatever. You weren't adding the actual pow of the weapons times two. Like, you were combo striking for no damage just to get the slam.
Yeah.
Or combo smite, rather.
Yeah, combo smite.
Like, your brain exploded. We were like, oh, wait, this does, like, 15 more damage than I thought
and,
it did.
I put a beast behind her. It was a combo slam. And it was a into an item. So
super slam.
Super slam.
Oh, my
super
God. Slam.
So it was five dice.
So Ashland exploded.
Plus, like, five.
Oh, yeah, because into a wall's additional, not boosted, isn't it? Holy crap.
Additional.
Yeah, so it was five dice. Oh, God. Five dice, power 20.
That all tingled the Bojangles.
Five dice? Oh, is he a weapon master? Or?
Yeah.
Combo strike.
No,
you
Josh
get double your
pow,
you don't get an extra die.
Feet,
so
feet. His feet.
Feet, right. Feet is the additional die, yes.
Yeah. So that was my day. It was pretty simple.
Yep. Quick. I worked.
Yeah. Good day. How'd that work out for you? Did you win?
I won at work. I won all the working. It was terrible.
It sounds terrible.
I have decided that you are making so much money the past couple of weeks because you're not spending time with us.
I worked 7 days in a row, and five of those days were at least 10 hours. And then this week I work four more days, and three of those are 11 or 12 hours. The other one, the short one, is 9.5.
That's miserable.
At least I am eligible for overtime.
So all of us that don't work retail are really, really glad right now. So I was the other one that actually played in the event. Round one, I played the same local Rick that Brian did. He dropped Vlad 1. Vlad 1 kind of got his ass kicked by Pythagrosh. Vlad 1 does give you extra dice, but his Vlad 1 list was just low pow. It just straight up was low pow, and that extra dice drop the low was not
enough. This your double War Spear P-Vlad list from when you were –
Double
War
Spear with Spiny Growth. With Thagrosh's Animus, or not Animus, but his just strength debuff. Like, I just, kind of like Brian did with Xerxes, I just jammed it so far up his ass he didn't know what to do with himself. I beat him
and
5 control points to 0, 48 army points to 0.
Holy shit.
Who is this?
Rick. That was Rick.
Oh, Rick. God, did you buy him a drink?
I should have.
You should have told me. I would have taken him out.
Did you give him Vaseline?
Nope.
That was just straight up prison.
Hey,
straight up prison.
It's a good thing you got
practice. Other men, I'm fine, but wear protection.
It's a good thing you have practice on Wednesday if you're going to have a squeaker like that. Imagine if you hadn't gotten a test game.
Imagine if I hadn't practiced my Pythagrosh list.
I just realized I did not go by Nathan's anti.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was my bad.
We didn't use your anti-rape.
Man on man,
but,
so it's okay.
I don't know that that's how rape works. No. I like that Brian's just like looking at Nathan to see what his reaction's going to be. It's very
most prison sex is consensual.
That's also true.
Because they're just stuck in there.
Yeah,
you know?
They don't have anything else.
Yeah,
they want to put their dick inside.
Oh.
Ooh. I'm enjoying myself. We should drink more often.
Is that 7-Up or vodka you have right now?
Yes. Katie has been consistently drinking this whole podcast, for those of you at home.
She doesn't have to drive home.
She doesn't.
This is the reason why we need a video.
So round two, I actually ran into our local Jordan, who also played P. Vlad against me.
The one who called Katie fat.
Yes, the one who called Katie fat. So he had a different P. Vlad list.
He
Jordan,
called her fat right in,
yeah, Jordan,
in front of everyone.
Jordan,
like,
our local.
I just stopped breathing. I'm like, oh my God, she's just
I've never seen him play Vlad in my life.
His butcher shoes being painted.
It's funny. And, like, I couldn't be mad for him because I just made that same joke. And so I'd be a hypocrite if I was angry at him. But I was kind of really angry at him for stealing my joke and making it again. And it having a bigger impact than my joke. What a dick.
Hey, Katie, frayed not.
Yeah, but it's funnier when it happens to you.
Yeah. As Mel Brooks said, tragedy is when I get a paper cut. Comedy is when you fall into an open sewer and die.
Yeah, that's actually true.
So who was it? Was that Lewis? Or?
It was Glenn.
That was Glenn.
It was Glenn. Okay.
No, Glenn was the one who said that I wasn't very smart.
No, that was Lewis.
I'm not very good with words.
Here, have some more vodka. That'll help.
That'll fix everything. So anyway, he had people had with a conquest, a tank, and then outriders. And outriders are holy terror. Except I had one unit of infantry and didn't care because I was playing Evail. So he brought in the Conquest and killed the ever-loving shit out of my Scythian. And he moved the tank up and killed the crap out of the Black Frost Shard. And then I ran a Harrier to within 10 inches of Vlad and ended his life. Because I feed it and I hit it with my Oculus and I just like, boom, boom, you're dead. So it was...
You died to obliteration.
Double oblit to the face of P-Vlad. Camping one, not Blood of Kings.
Such a noob.
P-Vlad fell over like a, just a piece
when
of
you fight,
dead wood.
When you face her pre-feat, you just camp so much.
Yep.
She had such a
the hilarious crack. Thing was, that was before the angel that could have charged Vlad even activated, that had nothing between it and Vlad but a few mechanics making free strikes, which I just don't even care.
They might all roll trip sixes and not
they
do
might.
Anything.
They might
roll five for the system.
They might get real lucky. It yeah, could happen.
It's possible. But.
Highly unlikely.
But yeah, I would take that risk too. I would fly fly the angel over
yeah.
a bunch of
so like
shit.
The Harrier, like double obliterated. I hadn't even cast any of my other upkeeps because I was like, I guess you're dead and I win. So yeah, that was sort of anticlimactic. Because Evil had double oblitz a thing.
I do like seeing Jordan fail and suffer.
Yeah. I do too.
I like Jordan. I honestly do. Like he's, I like him a lot. Well, I used to pretend to like him and he annoyed the shit out of me. Now I actually like him and he annoys the shit out of me.
Right?
Speaking of which, do you know that if you pretend something long enough, it actually happens?
Yeah, that's like women. I tell them to pretend they're enjoying it,
and
eventually,
then eventually they do enjoy
it. Yeah.
Well, that's like what you don't really need to be together so long,
right?
Well, she's gullible.
Yeah.
Sorry, Raylene.
Wow.
She's listening to this podcast. Do
wow.
I mean, your penis is fine. Tell us about your next game, Jeremy.
You want some more vodka, Katie?
I still have some. Thank you, though.
Oh my god. That just happened. The best part
Jeremy,
was...
Jeremy, your wife says my penis is fine.
Yeah, just fine. You enjoy that.
I will. I will take that.
Hey,
that's a passing grade.
You tell me that you're average height.
Me or my penis?
Oh.
Whichever you prefer, dear.
So, let me just preface this. Pay attention to Battle Report number 15, which is going to be recorded right
immediately
after this.
After, by the way, if you're available, we're going to record.
We're just going to stick. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So pay attention to that.
And Katie's our color commentator.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Keep the vodka flowing.
So anyway, the best part about this game was he had two lists left. He had P-Vlad and he had Butcher 3, who wrecks the shit out of Legion. And I knew for a fact he wouldn't play him because he doesn't know anything about Butcher 3.
That's because he says Butcher 3 is not that good.
Yeah.
He didn't play him.
Yeah. He's like, Butcher 3 is not that good. I'm like, man, if you had been playing him, I'd have been so dead.
That's why I keep playing in events. I keep playing my test list and I look at events because that's how I learn these. You know,
yeah, he should have dropped Butcher 3 against me. Hardcore.
If he had balls, he played more Butcher 3, we'd all be in trouble.
Oh, hell yes.
Thing is, though, Butcher 3 is amazing. I took on Rick on the Wednesday before the tournament, and he had Butcher 3. I had my Durgan double
and he
Earthbreaker
both of
list.
Them?
No, he didn't kill both of them, but after I consistently knocked him down and black oiled the Butcher, the thought process is like, oh shit, he could just really walk up, cast a spell, pull both things in.
Flashing blade,
my guys to death.
Yeah.
His mat is high enough, and
he doesn't
need his initial attacks to make melees.
Yeah.
So he can forfeit his action, still walk up and suck you in and flashing blades. Yes, Katie suck like oral sex, and still kill you. Like, even blinded, he's dangerous.
And that's how you deal with casters most of the time. You knock him down, blind him, like, oh, fuck, I'm useless. No, Butcher's like, I'm going to get this shit done anyway.
Well, it's like I played a game against Brian once where I blinded Moloch Karn, and then Moloch Karn assassinated my caster.
Because
he forfeited his movement, sidestepped twice, and then killed my caster under Zal's. He was like Zal's feet last standed, so he's like, oh, I'm -4 mat, so I still need Snake Eyes to kill you. Murder. Yes, Katie.
I thought Moloch Karn was a caster until I played him against Brian.
Against Brian.
Yeah.
Why Brian played him against me.
Yeah.
And then he killed her.
And then he killed
you
her.
Got Moloch Karn bolted.
Moloch Karn last standed against me. I made that happen.
You played him into a corner. He
I
had to do that. Yeah.
I played him into a corner.
So anyway, my third game was what we thought was going to be the final game. There was a pair up, a pair down, I should say, but the pair down was Butcher 3 versus Shay.
Which I'm not sure how he lost that match.
I don't know.
I am really disappointed.
We're pretty sure Butcher 3 should have won and made it a three-round game.
Brian
honestly,
Cole? is his name?
Brian Culp.
Yeah, Brian Culp. Remember how when we were sitting at the table and I was like, no pressure, but if you lose, you suck? Yeah.
That was reminded me of the rest of the tournament.
If that Commodore cannon keeps hitting him,
that's the problem, is he never dealt with the Commodore cannon.
As a Merc player, I think I'd be perfectly happy playing Shagan
really?
Butcher 3.
Oh, yeah.
You got a medium-based caster for me to Commodore Slam from here to Kingdom Come? Yeah. Sure.
That's an issue.
He should have had something to deal with the Commodore cannon.
And you got to get through that whole pirate boat. You got to get through everything to
but
get...
But it's not tough against him.
It's still a lot of things to get...
It's not tough against him. It's tough against everything else, and it's still a shitload of bodies.
He has Silence of Death.
One unit has it.
One unit. I mean, Shay's got the Alpha Strike. It's way on your side of the table. He's hitting your guys and killing your guys because of Payday and Hawk.
Yep.
The Commodore Cannon is slamming shit all over the place. Like, that's not a bad matchup.
Yeah, I knew.
Shay's
okay
with that.
Yeah, I knew going in that was going to be.
I thought Butcher 3 would do better than he did.
He gets past the tough, you're right, but there's so much other stuff there.
There is a lot.
Shay Alpha Strikes so hard with Payday and Hawk and everything, he will just tear into your army. And then you have to tear back through it. Even without tough, there's still so many bodies in the way. You have to get past them all, and the whole time you're getting slammed by that cannon, and his jacks are doing their work. It hurts.
It was a galleon, too, in there.
And a galleon, yeah. Like, all that shit's hitting you from behind these pirates.
A galleon has a harpoon.
Thank you, Katie.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised Shay won
that. Anyway, I obviously couldn't watch that game because I was playing my round three, but my round three game, I had saved Saren because there were two Crix players, and I hadn't faced either of them yet. And I dropped Saren versus Lich 2, which is probably advantage Saren. I would say slightly advantage Saren. There aren't many casters I'd say have an edge over Lich 2.
Your feet turn, you're immune to his feet, but it's a game of chicken.
I don't care about the Biles at all. So what wound up happening is he rushed me with the Satixis, and I was able to kill pretty much all of them between two Strider Deathstalkers who aimed and Swift Hunted, and one Nephilim Protector and Scythian. They were just all dead. Then I shot some stuff, and then I went after the flag and put Blightbringer on it and didn't even have to feat on turn two, which turned out to be super bad for him. Because then turn three, I just molested his army, and he couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, so, when you're playing like an Edeni or a Saren, if you can hold that feat to turn three or late, it's
brutal. Like, I just killed everything. At the end of the game, he almost pulled it out because I didn't... One of the side flag that didn't go away, we were playing Incursion, I didn't contest it heavily enough, and so the two Bane Thralls he had killed the thing I had contesting the flag, and Lich was like, fuck it, run to the flag, at which point he was at 3 points, and I had to do something about it, giving him a weird charge lane on my caster that then he flubbed because he needed tens to hit.
Well, that's not really a flubbing because he needed tens to hit. That's not flubbing, that's dice not...
Well, he had to charge another model.
And then he had to charge a different model, and I had two transfers. So he needed to, he either needed to not boost to tens, which you can't do, otherwise, he has three boosted tens, and he needs to hit
transfer
all three,
two of them, and the third one has to one shot
me.
Yeah, but that's not flubbing it. That's taking his best chance at that.
It
moment.
Was no. I'm not saying he made a bad decision. I'm saying
I don't know. Use the word flub.
What it
it's
is?
Fine.
What
nobody
is,
gets excited about being charged by Lich 2.
What did his feet
point.
Killed on you? Because you had so
his
many
feet killed my two angels.
Okay,
his feet did the next turn kill. Did it actually get both of them? Yeah, it did. I think it did get both angels. So
this was Dan, one of our locals.
Yeah, one
well,
of our locals,
too.
And he's a good player. Like it was a tough game, but. It was. So I really like Saren in that matchup.
He's not very good at diplomacy. He got eliminated right away.
I believe you.
Hey, newbie, when you don't listen to somebody who's like, they're just going to turn on you right away, you also die. Bitch. Continue.
That's a different. Okay.
It's talking about diplomacy.
Okay. Anyway, so round four happened. I wound up playing the Merc player. We had all three of our lists back open again. He didn't know what to drop against me, and so he dropped Bart Galleon. And I dropped Pythagrosh, and then I just rolled over him in a tidal wave of things he couldn't kill fast enough. What's the two flag scenario with the two objectives you have to destroy? Fire support.
Yep.
So fire support. I owned one flag with my war spears and just sat on it and scored it while Galleon contested the other one, and I didn't care. He did take shots at my caster every turn, but I just like kept four transfers on Thagrosh and didn't care. So. Wound up winning the event. It was really cool.
What would you have been afraid of his combos, of his three lists?
Of his three... Well, it depended. With our three list matchups, it was a really weird game of chicken. Because Pythagrosh would have gotten... He had Bart Galleon. He had the Shay list we talked about. And then he had Damiano with the Halberdiers and everything. Damiano with the Halberdiers wrecks my War Spears because then the Cav just come in and just
I would have, of those choices, I would have went with probably Damiano.
Damiano would have been the best choice, I think.
He was running a weird variant of Damiano that he found online that I guess did really well at the Irish Masters. I'd never seen it before. It was an unusual variant.
Hey, we missed St. Patty's Day.
Apparently not.
So March 17th is St. Patty's Day.
I don't know. It's tomorrow. It's tomorrow. I saw a lot of things on Facebook.
People were drinking
like,
all weekend. People celebrated on
St. Patty's Day's weekend is what they called it.
Because not everybody can get hammered.
I love
on a
how
weekday.
It's people in America get more drunk. People in America care more about St. Patty's Day than people.
They care more about Mexicans. Don't give two fucks about Cinco de Mayo. Nope. It's nothing. But it's not even their Independence Day. We think it is because we're stupid.
Well, no, it's because it's an excuse to drink. So it's a drinking holiday. So of course we get excited about it, and they drink all the fucking time. So why would they get excited about it?
Also,
racist much?
Wow. Also,
they're either drunk or cleaning Katie's place
or drunk, both. Or honestly, both. Judging by how judging by how clean her place is.
Irish need not apply here. Okay.
Oh,
that's going back to old racism.
The old racism.
Yeah, that's the little signs they put in the window.
Yeah,
that is actually
the anti-Irish racism is the antiquated racism. Yeah. Now the Irish get to be they're lumped in with the whites, so they get to be racist.
How do we have cops if we have no Irish?
Right. The weird thing is they're prejudiced against themselves. They are putting the signs up.
Speaking of which, that scene in Archer is amazing.
What scene?
The Family Feud interrogation. With the Irish people and then Hondurans, and the Irish guy gets all... He's like, oh, those beaners coming here and he's stealing our job. And Irish's like, first of all, they're Hondurans. They're not Mexican. And I'm pretty sure beaner is specifically Mexican pejorative. Number two, it's not too long ago, Hannity, that everybody was against the Irish.
Also, Cinco de Mayo is Brian's birthday.
Cinco de Mayo.
Happy birthday.
Wow, that's a crazy coincidence. How often does that happen where your birthday falls on Cinco de Mayo?
It's like leap year once. Only every 4 years.
I'm going to get you the best present.
All right.
Oh, dear God.
Good Lord.
She looks scary.
I know.
She does look scary. You shouldn't
be
afraid.
You liked your last present, right? Yeah, you did.
Katie made...
Wow, that was creepy as hell, Katie.
Tell me you didn't.
I use it every day.
It's either creepy or erotic or both.
Or both.
He opened and he said... I actually like this. This is the best compliment I've ever gotten from him.
Katie made me take another shot because she was going to take another shot and she didn't want to feel like an alcoholic. And
no,
there was still...
I said, if you drink that shit, I'll drink this.
When you poured it originally, you said, you know, you should have one too. And there was still rum chata in my thing. And apparently when you add vodka to just a little bit of rum chata, it looks like... It wasn't the taste. It looked like diluted semen. Like, it really looked...
That's because rum chata looks like semen. I just diluted it with vodka.
That's a valid point. But she poured it and I looked in there. And I was like, oh my God. And there's like little white clouds swirling inside
of it. The thing is, I was going to mix mine, and then I saw his, and I said, if you shoot that, I'll shoot mine too. It was a challenge.
The rum chata actually isn't more like eggnog and cinnamon. It is like, you ever eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Yeah, that's gross.
The milk afterwards?
The milk afterwards is rum chata.
That's gross.
The only cereal...
You know what you do with the milk after cereal? You dump it down the drain.
I agree with Katie for the most part, although... The cereal milk that I drink is when I have a bowl of marshmallow maties, which is generic Lucky Charms that are better than Lucky... No,
they're not. Every generic Lucky Charms I've ever had has been terrible.
Marshmallow maties are delicious. You should try them sometime. Anyway.
They come in a big bag.
Also, trivia, in Legend of Ricky Bobby, when he has the Lucky Charms that are trapped under his car, those are actually marshmallow maties. So I'll have a bowl of marshmallow maties. Then after I eat all the marshmallow maties, I will pour more marshmallow maties into the milk that's still there.
Right.
I will eat that. Yep. And then that milk I drink, and it's fucking amazing.
See, but you just because
it's just like raw sugar.
What you do is you just keep pouring cereal until there's no milk left.
Two bowlfuls of marshmallow maties diluted in the
milk. Right.
Trust me.
Or you go, hey, Fuma, here you go. And then Jeremy yells at you and tells you you're gross.
Yes.
It's cool.
Cats like milk.
To share your
it's
milk
not
with
really
cats.
Milk at that point.
Cats marshmallow cats like milk, sugar. But they're
it's
not supposed to drink
cat
milk.
They're not supposed to drink milk. Yeah. It never gives her any problems, and I only give her minimal amount.
And I'm not supposed to snort heroin either, but it never hurt me any.
Well, if you do it with hookers, you have to do it right.
Well, awesome. Yeah.
That's cocaine.
That's cocaine. I apologize.
That's my
So it's our Madison Battle Report.
Jeremy, I was going to talk about the three list pairing, but never mind.
Fourth event?
Hey, that was my fourth. You won without a coin.
I won. There was once again not a first place coin.
That is my new favorite thing. I hope you keep winning events and none of them have a goddamn first place coin. I want you to die first place coinless, and I mean that in the nicest way possible.
There was at least a best of hordes coin, so I got something, as opposed to the other event where it was just like, good job.
Bye.
I like how Travis, Sam, tried to pass off the Sam name to me because I didn't actually have a steamroller coin kit.
Or a scorn coin at all.
No, but that was an issue by Privateer. But we did have our Gargantuans and Colossals faction coins that I was able to give out, which is infinitely better, I think, than a 1-2-3 coin.
Hey, speaking of Sam, he was in a really, really, really not nice mood. He should cheer up. Then he did a little dance. It was funny.
He was pretty happy at the very end.
At the very end,
yeah.
Hey,
he got home from the event, and then he and I played Diablo 3 until 3 in the morning.
That's because you.
Why aren't you my friend in Diablo 3?
Are you Carnage for PS3. You Geezy pants?
It's my soulfree2 at gmail.com. Yeah. Everyone can friend me at soulfree2 at gmail.com.
Are you playing on PC?
No, I'm playing on PC.
Oh, okay.
Raylene and I share an account, so my handle is like Raylene Dunn or something like that. But you can tell when it's me because the characters have really stupid names. Like, her characters have like the default name for like Aelith and Bokhtok or whatever they randomly generate. I just started a monk with Travis, and his name was Punchy McKickface. You know, so that's how you know you're playing with me versus Raylene.
I don't play.
What level is your character?
That one, we got up to level like 20. Like, we just played straight through.
Nice.
But whatever. Yeah. I'm starting new characters of all of them so that I can experience all the newly altered skills. Because if I just take my level 60 and go, I'll just try out the skills, I won't really do it. So this way I'll actually feel all the
I have not changed my monk build at all from
speaking
what it used
of
to be.
Games.
Right, and you need to be different. So that's why I'm starting new characters with all of them.
Newbie, I know that your base recently...
Does Newbie listen to this?
I don't know. I know that your Clash of Clans base recently had somebody who was an idiot attacking you, but I saw your base, and I just wanted to kill the shit out of you because it's so poorly designed. You should work on that. Continue with your statement.
I was pretty much done.
Okay.
Tempest Rush is still overpriced as far as spirit costs, so, you know. That's what I learned yesterday playing my new level monk.
Am I using which one?
Tempest Rush is the one where like you spin your staff and you run forward and it constantly drains.
I only
drains.
Used it for a little bit because I got an orange.
It's too expensive.
But I switched it out to my Bell.
I loaded Diablo 3 up recently and I started a new mage because I'd never played a mage. I always played a barbarian. And then I spent like the next 2 hours in Whimsyshire.
Yeah.
Because I forgot that I actually went through and made that staff. So.
Fists of Thunder and the thing that generates a cloud around you that does constant damage are still the best monk skills. Because what the monk is good at is killing the crap out of mobs.
Yeah, the stomp, it starts out as dropping the bell and then going forward, yeah. But then when you upgrade to the every direction stomp...
That one's not bad.
That one used to be OP because you'd get the passive where you healed when you used mana.
Yes.
Or when you used spirit. And so you'd go and you'd go punch, 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 stomp, everything died, you fully healed, wash, rinse, repeat.
Right.
But it's not that OP anymore because they adjusted stuff.
Yeah. The Fist of Thunder is nice because you're proccing hits on everybody and knocking them all back.
Right.
Which is huge.
Yeah, Diablo.
So that's our Diablo 3 section of our podcast.
I was playing Diablo 3 one time, and Andy came up, because I was using a monk, and I had Fist of Thunder with the rune where you teleport to the person that you punch.
Yes.
And so Andy didn't realize I had that rune on. Yeah, it was you. You came in here. It was when I still lived here. And he came in, and he saw me doing it, and he's like, oh my god, you are lagging like crazy. Your guy's just jumping around, because he thought it was lag. Yeah.
I thought that was the base skill that teleported you, at least slightly.
It might be. I don't know. Well, yeah. It is now, at least.
It is now.
I think it used to be a rune.
It might have used to be a rune.
Yeah. It's kind of like the spear used to always drag stuff. Now it doesn't. Now you just throw a javelin and it hits stuff.
Huh.
The drag chain on it is like a fourth or fifth rune.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a weird change. So we have a new section for our podcast.
Oh.
That's new this week. Are you prepared for this?
Sure. I'll go with the one that was our example because it is an interesting one.
Do we have to call it that? I mean, do we have to have double names?
I thought it was kind of cool.
We don't need the same digit or the same alphabet.
Yes, we do.
For this.
Alliteration's the best.
Stan Lee.
Are you questioning the great Stan Lee?
He has a point. So our new section is called Nate's Nuances. Just to make Andy
it's
mad.
It's called Andy's Annoyances. Yeah.
That'll be your new section.
Yeah.
But Nate's Nuances, the idea of this section is Nate is a judge. We're one of two podcasts that I know of that has a judge. I don't know what's going on right now.
There's three. Trevor from Chain Attack,
okay.
And then there's a couple on Road to War.
I knew Road to War.
They're bad judges.
So we have a judge, and so there are things that come up on the forums that are not necessarily weird rules, but rules that a lot of people maybe not know, and they get talked about. So Nate's going to share one with us, and this will probably become at least a semi-recurring.
And the thing is, like, weird rulings usually get out there.
Yes.
Like, when there's, like, a big errata or, like
the Living Dead thing
something
that just
is
came
ruled,
out.
You know, when the weird rulings get out there. But there's a lot of stuff that people really play wrong because it's not weird enough to come up and have people go, whoa, because everybody, like, assumes they're playing it right.
Yeah.
And the big one that I brought this up a week or two ago because I was playing with a few locals and with my convergence with the Prime Axiom, this has come up, and everybody I've played against has been been confused and frightened and because they thought I was doing stuff wrong. Strafe and rapid fire, any multiple simultaneous attacks, the way that they work is a little counterintuitive. Specifically, number one, a lot of times people, like, they'll roll for strafe, and they'll be like, all right, so I've got six attacks. I'm going to put two on this guy, one on this guy, one on this guy, and then two on this guy. You don't do that.
To be fair, it used to be that way.
No, it never used to be that way. It's really? Just people have always played it that way.
I used to. I thought it used to be.
You say, okay, I have six attacks. First one's on that guy. Roll to hit, roll damage. Stop. Second one's on that guy. Roll to hit, roll to damage. Stop. Third one's on that guy. Roll, hit, roll damage.
So could you technically go, first guy, roll to hit, roll damage, stop. First guy, roll to hit,
you
roll
can.
Damage.
The only rule with auto fire and strafe is that it's worded interestingly, but the main thing is that the guy who's your primary target, no other person can have more shots on them than he does.
No single target.
No single other target. The other guys combined can. So you can have like three on him and three on somebody else, or two on him and one each on four other guys,
so
but you can't
really
do like one on him and three on the second guy.
The first guy, then you want to hit him at least twice.
Or if there's six guys nearby, you can hit them each once if you had, like, six attacks.
Right, but theoretically, if you need somebody else twice, you want
to
hit the...
And more importantly, you'd have to, because here's the thing is, if you shoot that first guy, you roll hit, roll damage, and you know that damage is killing him, and he doesn't have tough or anything to save him. If you want to attack another person twice, you still have to, quote-unquote, waste a second attack on that first guy to earn the right to shoot another guy twice. Because that primary target has to at least tie for the most attacks on him, even if that first attack you already know killed them.
One of the weird things that people took,
if he already died, let's say you had somebody who was like...
But he hasn't died yet.
He hasn't died yet, because they're simultaneous.
Okay. Yep.
You roll, hit, roll damage, and then when I say stop, I mean stop. Like, he's still there, he's still not dead, you just know he's going to be dead.
He's going to be disabled, but is not yet.
Right.
All
right,
that's my question.
Yeah, so you do the first attack, name its target, roll, hit, roll damage, and then stop the process. You do that with all your attacks, and the person who was the initial target has to at least tie for the most attacks against him. And then they all resolve simultaneously then and only then. All the disabled box and destroys happens there. Which is, number one, people do that wrong all the time. They used to either divvy them up all the way, or they'd roll, hit, roll damage, and then kill a guy, and then go on and roll, hit, roll damage, kill that second guy. You don't. They stay not dead yet.
So when you do tough checks, when do the tough checks?
Here's where we're getting to the second weird part. When you finish rolling all the hits and damages and you're ready to resolve everything, everybody who is dead at least once gets a single tough check.
So what if they're dead
you
at least
shot
twice?
One tough check, he passes it, he's fine. Because the damage from all those attacks lumps together. So if you shoot like a pirate who has tough and you hit him twice and the first one does a million damage and the second one does a million damage, you lump it together to 2 million damage, that kills him, one tough check.
Okay. So he could survive with two attacks, theoretically.
Yeah, with a single tough check. He doesn't have to tough them both. And a lot of – like, I would shoot somebody, like, three times. They'd be like, well, first tough check. I'm like, no, that's your only tough check. And if you pass it, you're fine. You don't have to pass all three.
But if you fail, you're fucked.
Yeah. Well, which you would if you had three tough checks anyway. Correct. One fail would be it. And the other thing with that, that's a little – even the tough checks are weird, is transfers. If you shoot a guy with six auto fire attacks –
a caster, a warlock.
A warlock.
So let's back up a minute, because I don't understand what strafe is. Can you...
strafe is what the Seraph has. Well, you've played against Legion, so the Seraph has where he gets like D6 attacks at the time.
D3 plus 1,
whatever it is. That ability is called strafe.
Yeah. Okay.
The only difference is strafe is a special attack, I believe.
Yes.
And then auto fire is just a thing that happens when they attack. But functionally,
auto fire basically makes it so it's three initials or... Yeah. One to three initials.
So if you do strafe, if you get let's say six times, and then you just put them all into the first person.
Yeah.
What happens with the caster? I know you're getting to that point, but I just want to make sure I'm on the same page.
So the tough, you know, no matter how many attacks, it all lumps, you do one tough check. So that all lumps is the important thing. If you're shooting a warlock, let's say I shoot a warlock five times, and I do 10 damage each time. That's not 5-10 damages. You lump that all to 50 damage and say, there you go, you took 50 damage, transfer it.
One time.
Okay. It is not five different 10 damage chunks that you each individually transfer. That is one 50 damage chunk that you have to transfer.
Theoretically, they could survive if they had one transfer.
Well, no. It's usually the worst. If they had five shots, let's imagine that you had five fury and I hit you five times for 10 damage. You could transfer that to five different beasts that each take 5 damage. If you lump that all to 50, You transfer that to your Warp Wolf. It kills him. The other 15 damage comes back and kills you.
Well, not if I have the large base guy, though.
Well, sure, but in hypothetical, you're more likely to kill a beast and have the over damage kill you because you can't retransfer over damage.
Right.
So by lumping it all together, it becomes more dangerous because you can't divvy it up to multiple beasts piecemeal. You have to take it all as one block, which is more likely to overkill something.
I feel like that makes it way more dangerous as a caster kill, but way less threatening as an infantry kill.
It is, yes. It's way less threatening for infantry kill or casters with tough. It's less good against tough because they only have to pass one tough check.
Right, but if they were full damage to begin with and they only have to pass one tough check, now they're at one health.
Right, sure. But
that would have been true anyway.
The point is, if they were three separate attacks and they had to pass three tough checks, they're only going to pass that one in 27 times because they have a 1 in 3, 1 in 3, 1 in 3.
Right, I understand statistics. Thank you.
I know you do, but other listeners might not have. Also, you didn't have Excel in front of you, and usually that's how you do
that's
math.
True. That's true.
I love Excel so much.
But
so,
with the one tough check, they'll survive it one out of three times. So the tough is far, far more likely to succeed, but transfer is far more dangerous for them because they have to transfer it all as one block.
Yeah, yes. And not very many casters have tough.
And that's only specific.
I know trolls have tough. What other casters have tough?
McBane.
Some of the pirates do. Some of the mercs do.
But that only works specifically for, like, strafe, which is all simultaneous attacks.
It's simultaneous attacks, which is strafe and auto fire are the big ones. Backswing used to be, but isn't now, because backswing is two separate attacks. Sprays are that way, but sprays hit multiple different guys. Technically, I guess if you sprayed a stream across people, like that, and you hit,
that's P. That's
if you natively hit somebody who had shield guard, and then they also shield guarded somebody else in the spray, that would matter because they'd be taking two simultaneous attacks. There's not a lot of things that do multiple simultaneous attacks like that can hit one thing multiple times.
Yeah.
But anything that works that way, that's how it would resolve.
Now, you said when you assign the hits, you don't do all six. You just do one after another.
You have your six attacks, and you one by one assign, roll attack, roll damage. Then you assign the next one, roll attack, and roll damage.
No, don't you follow the rule? Doesn't the initial need so many, though? Or
but you can come back to them. You can go, okay, I'll do the first guy. Now I'm going to do this guy. Do the first guy again so I can do this other guy a second time. Yeah, you still have to. The first guy by the end of it still has to have gotten the most, but you don't have to do it to him first.
So it's, I mean, it's always disadvantageous this way.
No, not against a warlock.
Yeah, no, well, not against warlock, but against infantry, because you always have to hit that guy a second time, and if you know the first time you would have killed him, assuming he doesn't have tough. Then you have to go back and re-kill him, which means you're
sacrificing. If you want to hit something else a second time.
Because he has to just tie for most. So if you have four strafe attacks and four targets, you just hit one.
It seems like if you're going against infantry, everything else equal, you would just skip the guy who you missed and then continue going on to the next guy.
Right, yeah.
Because you're not losing the one.
Right.
Okay.
But you depending on how you want to divvy up the strafe attacks, you can indeed cut to a situation where you're attacking somebody that you already know is dead a second time just to earn the right to attack somebody else.
And that happens
time.
Too, because with strafe, everything has
chancy.
To be within. It is. But I mean, strafe is also a cool special bonus ability. I mean, it doesn't.
Well, no, I understand that, but it just seems like you would always want to attack. The more I think about it, the more I would say if it's just infantry, you'd always want to attack the first guy only one time because then you would just continue moving on.
Right.
And if you.
The limitation. So here's where you're missing on that. With strafe and auto fire both, every target has to be within 2 inches of the initial target. The odds that you can't like go through a unit of infantry like change.
Autofire is a little bit different,
but basically,
autofire's the same, right?
Like that.
Autofire is also within 2 inches.
Autofire is identical to strafe in every functional way
except that it counts
as an initial. You autofire every time you attack, whereas strafe is a star attack. Everything else, they're identical.
Yeah. So the reason that it doesn't matter in most cases is the odds that I roll a d3 plus one, I roll the four. So I roll four attacks. The odds that there's four infantry. With a total of three other infantry within 2 inches of the guy I hit against a competent player is pretty slim. Because they're also just getting annihilated by an AoE.
Because I've seen so many people clump their stuff up.
Sure. Like a bad player that just clumps their models, then I just want to go straight.
But if they clump up that many infantry near each other, then you don't have to attack that first guy twice.
Well, right. That's my point, is it doesn't seem like it's ever worth it unless there's like a heavy.
The only time so if it's a beast or something that you're attacking multiple times, or a multi-wound soul or something, or if there's like two guys.
Well, the other time it comes up...
Then you attack, the first guy twice and the other guy once when you have three attacks.
Right.
Oh, well.
No, that makes sense, but it seems... Because it seems like...
Speaking of someone who has strafe, the other reason it comes up is strafe lets you ignore line of sight. So let's say you have a big old fatty jack with your something squishy hiding
behind it.
But
that again goes to my...
Right. But it's the price you pay. What he's talking about is like, if you have Behemoth with Urusk standing behind it, and you get four attacks with your strafe, you can't just hit the Behemoth once and then Urusk three times. Right. You have to get the Behemoth two and Urusk two. All
right, that makes sense.
But that's also true even with the Jack, and that's where it comes up, unfortunately, is like, let's say that's a Mana War instead. Mm. You could kill it with that first attack, and it's like, oh, well, attack it a second time, I guess. Even though I know he's dead, I still have to give him a second attack so that I'm allowed to give two attacks on the guy behind him.
On the other Mana War.
But then it's a sunken cost because you knew you were going to do two attacks anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The only way it goes bad for you is, let's say, the Man of War example. You hit the very initial target and you just blow up the dice and you crush him. And you're like, well, fuck. Because now I hit another guy and I don't one-shot him. I guess I go shoot the first one a second time and then I come back to him.
You might not have known.
But again, it's a second cost because you already knew that you were probably going to sink two shots into that first guy when
that
happened.
You were expecting to,
then,
yes.
I don't know where... You're arguing against yourself. So where is the bad thing that you were saying?
Well,
you were saying?
It just seems like if you didn't think you would have to put more than one shot into this guy, it seems like it's never worth it unless you run out of other models to shoot.
Or the line of sight thing.
Or the line of sight thing.
Yeah.
So I don't.
That's true. That's
so
why you pick the target.
The more we talk about it, the more it makes sense to me why you'd ever shoot him twice. But initially, when we were talking about it, it was just in my mind a bunch of infantry guys, and you're like, "Well, you missed the second infantry, so you go back to the first one so you can shoot the second infantry."
Does the second
again.
Model with a stretch? Does the second model have to be within range of the guns?
Does have to be in range. That is the one thing that's a little bit of a drag.
It does not ignore range
because most strafe guns are not that long range. Like the Seraph is range 10.
Most are 10.
Hmm. 10 is pretty long range. I can tell you, my shrimp get a lot of work done at 10 range.
I can tell you that it's a heavy, and if you lose a shrimp, you don't care. If you lose a heavy, it sucks.
Your shrimp do move fast, and they also have Zephyr.
So they have Zephyr. Hey, shrimp aren't good. Don't kill them.
Shrimp are the most terrifying thing in a circle army.
Well, my favorite conversation is Jordan actually came over today to hang out with the puppy and his dog, Bo, and he was like, there's nothing in circle that's an infantry unit that just kills heavies. And I was like, shrimp?
Yeah.
Shrimp just straight up kill heavies all the time.
And I told him, I was like, yeah, they just pick an angel up off the table. And he was like doing the math. He's like, yeah, sure, one of your heavies. I was like, you mean any heavy with 18 armor or lower? They just, 2 units, just pick it up?
Yeah.
Just pick it up. Just done.
Man. There's how strafe and auto fire works.
Yeah.
And I'll give a shout out. As long as I'll plug, just in fairness, because, well, I had been talking about this, and then he wrote an article about it. Now I'm talking about the podcast. Trevor Christensen. Yeah. Trevor Christensen he writes for the Discount Games Inc. blog, and he has a thing called What Does the Card Say? Set to the tune of What Does the Fox Say? Yes, that is true. But he talked about stuff like this as well. So you can see other stuff like this. I'll try not to talk about the same stuff he is so we don't overlap as much. But while you're there, there's an article about board games written by a handsome and charming gentleman with a giant penis.
I thought that somebody else wrote that for you.
So I wrote the first 3 weeks, and then I was busy with some stuff, and I missed a deadline or two, and so they filled in for me for two of the articles. And one of the articles was fine because he wrote about Love Letter, and I'm like, good, Love Letter's a decent game. And the other one talks about...
long nostrils. I never realized that before.
Jesus. And they're different, like this one. See how the septum is
kind
of on the side?
You're longer than one side.
My septum isn't centered. It's kind of like it leans to the right. Like my nose doesn't lean to the right, but the septum does, so my nostrils are different shapes.
They are.
But anyway, it was because of a knife.
That sounds like a more interesting story than the one you're telling.
Is happening?
You're welcome.
Jay Larson wrote a positive review of Power Grid, a game which I hate. And so now I'm never going to miss a deadline again.
Power Grid, I think that it depends who you're playing with.
Yes and no. If you're playing with people who are trying to win and understand the game, it's always going to be terrible.
No, if you're playing with equal level players, I think it's a fine game. If you're playing with people who are not of the same skill level, then it's a terrible game.
That's true of most hero games, but the problem is Power Grid has a very blatant design flaw in my mind in that it tries to have a catch-up mechanic where it rewards the person who's quote-unquote in last place. The issue is the game doesn't understand what it means to be losing at Power Grid, so it helps out somebody who actually isn't necessarily in a bad place.
But that's where I think...
And so if you sandbag and you purposely put yourself in quote-unquote last place, then you just fucking annihilate, and I don't like that mechanic.
Brian!
If all four players understand that, then it's a battle. Everyone's playing for last place, and now it's this weird game. game where everyone's trying not to get in the lead, and now you're actually playing together. If someone gets ahead by like three cities or four cities, last place isn't enough. If everyone's within two cities, then last place is huge. But once
if somebody's so far ahead, it doesn't matter if you're in last place or not.
Yeah, if you're like, I have three cities and he has 10, I'm going to have a great last turn. No, you're because you're only making X money per turn. Now, if you're at 10 cities and everyone else is at 9, you're at 8, that 8 player is fucking golden.
Right.
So as you play the entire game, it's a matter of not trying to get ahead the entire game. But I will not...
But that's a lot of Euro games, though, because if you look at Waterdeep, the person who's in very first place is the person who gets all the fucking mandatory quests. The person who is in second place, like 10 points behind, never gets any mandatory quests, but they're one quest away from being in first.
But the issue is, at least that's player interaction, and that's choice they're making. It's more like if in Waterdeep, whoever was in last place, all their quests cost 3 cubes less.
No, it's like... what it's
No,
more
that's
like,
what it is like.
That what is it's more like is if you were in last place, you always got to go first.
No, it is like if you're in last place, all your quests cost 3 cubes less because it's a resource thing. It's you want that last turn when everybody's going to do their big surge. You sit on your quest, you sit on your quest, you sit on your quest, you stay in last place, and then last turn you finish 30 quests and crush all your opponents because you tricked the game.
Yeah, but you can't. Well,
and even if everybody knows that, like Brian's right that if everybody knows that, they can play for it. But then instead of me disliking the game because it's broken, it's me disliking the game because it's a race to suck and that's boring.
Well, no, because this is what happened one time. I was clearly in the lead. It was going to be very, very hard for somebody to overcome me. And so what you guys did was you sat on all of your resources so you could do that last 30-point thing. And you could, like, I had gotten to the point where it didn't matter if you did that because I was just going to trump you as soon as you did.
She was too many cities ahead.
The
breakpoint is right around 3 cities.
But it was more than that because you guys were within 3 cities of me, but you sat on it too soon.
Well, yeah, they sat on it for 2 turns, which is too long. You can't be 3 cities down for 2 turns.
Also, more importantly, Scepter of Zavendor is strictly a better game.
Yeah, but that's
because
that
has an actual wand that doesn't count as a thing.
the last player mechanic, but that game too, you want to be in last place too. I mean, if you're in last place,
it's not as brutal.
You certainly don't want to be in first.
You certainly don't want to learn that game when you're drunk.
Yeah.
And then sobering up throughout
if you're
the game.
In first place,
terrible.
You hate being in first. To me,
yes.
I like Scepter of Zavendor a lot more than Power Grid, so I don't want to compare. But I feel the catch-up mechanic is to me. Opinion, it's coming similar because neither game you want to be in first place.
I think it's not common for games to have. You mentioned this on the Facebook discussion, but it's not common for Euro games to have a built-in catch-up mechanic like that. The Power Grid and Scepter of Zavendor are the two big ones I can think of, and I vastly prefer how it's executed in Scepter of Zavendor.
I don't like the catch-up mechanic because I think it illustrates that in a game they realize that if you're in first, you can't catch up. And I think that if a game is well designed, that whoever is in first, the other people always have the ability to catch up. They don't need the mechanic that's like, oh, I realize that person's in first and has exponentially more power than you, and so we need a mechanic to catch you up.
Why I like StarCraft, the board game, because when someone's about to win, it's usually about 3 players about to win at the exact same time, so who can win the best. It's suddenly everyone's about to win, and it's holy crap. It's go time, and I much prefer that mechanic in a game.
Well,
versus
even Waterdeep, which is a worker placement game, and you are always complaining about the luck element in it because of people who are like getting good quests or serving mandatory quests. But the thing is, like, it does. There's no need for because the players balance it out by who's in the lead and what's going on.
I think in worker placement games, that's fine because your resources, your power, your abilities remain constant. You may be winning or losing, but you're still have the same amount. You still have the workers. I mean, you still have the same things at your disposal. In economy-driven games, is the rich get richer. If you're winning, it also means that you have probably the most income, which means you're going to continue to win by more, and you're going to pull away and pull away and pull away. And so that's why in economy-based games, it's easier for it to happen where there's a runaway leader, so they are more likely to need that balancing factor.
I still feel like
I understand
like
you could design it where you don't need it, but you're more likely to need it.
I feel like it's still it points to the fact that the game is imbalanced to begin with, but I think it also points to a larger picture in life where the rich get richer.
So
continue on.
We're stretching time a little bit, and we have Zappity Grumbles.
Okay.
What? It's already been an hour and five minutes.
We have an hour and 20 minutes.
So we got 10 minutes for Zappity Grumble.
I did post that. Let's do 20 minutes. Let's give it the 20 minutes.
We're stretching a little.
We usually give it 20.
Let's give it our best effort to go fast.
Yeah,
I'll go fast.
We won't give a time limit.
I like the 20 minutes.
We all like the time limit.
It helps me motivate.
And we can squeeze. If we're close, we'll squeeze. But the time limit helps us to not ramble.
Zappity.
Okay. Rumble, what?
All right. We're starting on Facebook today. English Muffin. Sorry. What?
Andy's got it.
Go.
Jeremy.
Don't
be an ass.
Sorry.
English muffin, Jordan. Toast, or bagel. I like English muffin.
It depends on the thing. If it's a sandwich, like a ham, egg, and cheese, then it's an English muffin.
Bagel.
Toast.
Depends on the type of toast.
I eat bagels with cream cheese more often, but actually an English muffin really hot with melted butter on top is fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah. All bagel.
Grumble.
Onion bagels.
Brian?
He said English
muffin.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Grumble. Toast is the worst.
What D&D class would you be in a fantasy world?
I'm a rogue. Always.
Dragon.
I'll go bard and annoy everybody.
That is annoying.
Mage.
I was a dragon in a Rifts campaign once.
I would be a dwarven fighter.
Wait,
really?
Surprise!
I'm shocked. Zappity.
Gumble.
Each of you give your best upbeat Cajun accent.
I don't know.
I guarantee.
I don't have one.
Guarantee.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Grumble.
Oh, that was really loud.
I grumble on tea.
Are you savoring food, Jeremy? Every time you hear that click?
No.
You're like, I want to treat.
Because you're a trained puppy. That's the joke, yes. Because you're whipped.
If you came to chew bubblegum and kick ass, don't you think it would be wise to bring an extra pack of bubblegum?
No, I prefer to kick ass.
Never question Rowdy Roddy Piper, okay? He brought the correct amount of bubblegum.
I don't know to which this refers, but my brother always used Big League Chew, and then he started chewing tobacco. That's my incentive.
It's a reference to They Live, a movie with the best fight scene in cinematic history.
One of the longest fight
the
scenes.
The most realistic, because it's great. It's not like
chewing tobacco is bad for you, and it's gross, and you spit a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
That's very gross, yes. Zappity. All right, Zappity.
Chewing tobacco is the worst tobacco.
Okay. It's the worst tobacco.
If you could play a game of War Machine with any historical figure, who would it be? And what faction would you expect them to play? And would you sandbag the game?
Okay, no, I would not sandbag the game. Historical figure? Come back to me.
Okay, I'll go. I would play a game against Patton. He would play Kador, and I wouldn't need the sandbags. He's motherfucking Patton.
True story. Africa. That was what he was about. Yeah.
If you're going to go with Patton, you need to have him play your faction because he read your book, so he knows how to play them correctly.
Play it. Yeah.
Well, that's actually
That's better. That's better. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Brian hasn't answered yet.
Neither has Nathan.
I'll play against Kong Ming, and he could play whatever he wants and kick the shit out of me because he's the greatest tactician ever. Hmm. Also known as Zhuge Liang, but whatever.
Sure.
Katie?
I'm gonna geekify this up. Go, Brian.
All right, you go.
If you're ready, go.
I go against Peter Cushing.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Because he's a miniature gamer, and...
Yeah. You know who else was a miniature gamer? What was,
I have mine.
The guy who wrote War of the Worlds and everything.
Orson Welles.
No, mm-mm. He did not write War of the Worlds. He did the one radio broadcast.
Yeah, correct.
H.G. Wells. H.G. Wells invented what's widely considered, like, the first modern, like, minis game with rules and measuring and stuff like that, like Warhammer, War Machine-style minis game. I forget what it's called, but it's an interesting trivia thing.
I did not know that.
I honestly thought that was Peter Cushing.
No, because this is, like, pre...
Yeah, well there, like, there's some really cool shots of like him playing miniature games as well. But
yeah,
I wouldn't sandbag the game. I'd make it interesting.
Katie,
see, here's the thing: I'm thinking in my mind. I'm thinking C.S. Lewis because he thought so
deeply.
Well, yes. like the way he thought about things seemed to. What?
Sorry.
No, continue. No.
Oh, it's Jesus, but he's a lion now.
That's not really C.S. Lewis's actual works. That's the one that's most well known, but that's not his.
I did like his the ones with the in space with Hideous Strength and Paralandria and whatever. Those ones are good.
But I don't think I would sandbag it again. But I would want to pick. Like, I want more time to think about this because I want to think about somebody who I'd want to play again and again and again and again because I'd want to see how they think, and that's very interesting to me.
Okay,
Cleopatra. Has boobies.
Little Wars was a toy soldiers game rule set invented by H.G. Wells in 1913.
All right, that's happening. Yep.
Grumble.
Best non-fantasy sci-fi book you'd recommend to a friend?
What's a sci-fi book that's non-fantasy?
Non-fantasy sci-fi.
What does that mean? Like
not fantasy, not sci-fi.
Something like,
I thought it meant not fantasy sci-fi as in actual realistic science fiction, in which case my answer is the Andromeda Strain. Because that's science-based fiction that is not fantastical. But is that not what they're asking for?
They want something that's not fantasy or sci-fi, I think.
So like, we can go horror, then.
You could go horror. All
right. I'm going with the Dante Club, which is a game, or not a game, wow, did I say I have a game sitting in front of me on my phone? It is a book that is 90% accurate historical, but basically the premise of it is, the historically true part is that a bunch of authors were writing the first English translation of Dante's Inferno, and it's like Longfellow and people like that who are really important.
Sure.
And the fictional part is that there is a serial killer who is aping the punishments of Dante's Inferno, murdering people. Oh. And so while doing the translation, they need to solve the crime using their power of Dante's Inferno, and it's a really fucking good book.
So it's like Seven meets...
It's like Seven,
Seven
except...
meets that monk book that I always... Name of the Rose.
Yeah, but it's historical figures like Longfellow and whatnot solving it. The guy also wrote... He's written several books like this. One of the other ones is called The Last Dickens, and that one was terrible. I tried for like a month to read it, getting like three pages at a time, and then I gave up. But Dante Club is fucking amazing.
King Leopold's Ghost is a story that I half read because I half read almost everything, but it is the story about how slavery started in Africa and how they subjugated the continent, how they made money off of it, how it was exposed that they were doing this, and how African Americans came to America, and it is fucking amazing. I only read half of it because then I lost the book when I moved. I don't know where it's at. But it is a really, really good story about how this really tiny kingdom made so much money and became so influential off of the backs, literally, of other people and how many people died off of it.
They're basically, they're the ones who went out and basically worked with the slaving companies and enslaved
people. No, they didn't work with the slaving companies. They established the company on the Congo and then captured all the slaves and then were the slaving company. And then how they made themselves out to be these humanitarians who were making Africa a better place to live when in actuality they were driving all these people out of their homes and killing them and putting them in as slave labor. It's a really, really, really good book.
That was long, but it was good.
Sounds happy.
It's not very happy.
No. I'm going to go Democracy in America by Alexis de Tocqueville. I think it's actually a good book. It's a good read, and it's very informative. You should read it.
America by the this Daily Show
all,
people.
All vodka.
Yeah, all vodka. I was just about to recommend that as the Daily Show book. Yeah.
All right.
Actually, I prefer my Archer book. It's How to Be a Spy.
How to Archer.
I have that. That's the only book. One of the few books I actually kept in paperback. I keep it on my desk at work.
It's on my bedstand right now.
Yeah. It's actually pretty good.
Nice.
Guns, Germs, and Steel. Also good.
Zappy.
Grumble.
It's Grumble. Now that Jeremy has won two in a row, what's your plan to keep it from going to his head?
No coins.
Well, going to his head is one thing, but I mean, honestly, can you stop? You know, the force of nature.
I plan to fuck him so that he forgets.
I like this plan.
We can't stop it from going to his head because it's already gone to
his
head.
Well, why would we want to though?
As I stated yesterday.
Here's the thing, though. If he does really well in tournaments, it's only good for Madison, so I don't know why we would want to stop this.
No.
Because we don't like him.
I like him.
We don't want to hear about it.
I don't have to like him. I have to love him. There's a difference.
Here's the thing. The two tournaments I've won so far have not gone to my head. If I beat Keith and go 1-3 on the 22nd, then it will go to my head because I will have beaten Keith and it'll be amazing. And
beating
then I'm gonna,
Keith's not a big deal anymore.
Not anymore, but it is to me.
He's old hat.
Right? I almost beat Keith.
2012.
Maybe if he was good at the game, then we would care. Jesus.
All right, Zappity.
Grumble.
As a fan of pet rats, has Nathan ever seen the episode of Hoarders where the guy has 2,000 rats in his house?
No.
I have seen that episode. Yeah. It is very, very scary.
Hoarders
is depressing.
Well, here's
the thing is these people Zappity? Can't make these Please. Animals have happier lives, so Please. I don't know why they're hoarding.
Zappity. I've seen on the show of Hoarders where they find a bunch of garbage and pick it up and they find a cat, but the cat is literally thinned out. It's like
a mummy from like a decade ago.
But it's
yeah.
like a paper-thin cat.
See, you guys say this, but I knew this woman. Her name was Dorothy. She lived in the same country club as my grandma. Moving on. She had so much stuff in her house that you couldn't do anything other than like move through this thinly veiled maze of junk.
My ex-wife's dad is definitely a hoarder, but like they keep it mostly under control, but he like 80% of their floor space is stacks of stuff. You know, yeah. It's at least like not filth. It's just boxes of books and things like that. They keep it clean, but it's definitely like stuff. And they finally like they just went full on just hardcore. Like, no, we're getting rid of a bunch of this stuff. He got furious because they threw out National Geographics that he hadn't opened from like 1983.
Well, he was gonna fucking read those.
He was gonna read them one day. He was gonna read them one day, and now he can't. And that's fear, you know. And that's in just his, how in it his works. Mind. In
his, and that's, yeah, that's a problem was. With hoarding.
And that's yeah. the thing, you know.
It's, well, it's a mental disease.
It is a mental disease, and it's not like some people are like, we'll just throw it away. It's kind of it's annoying. Like people, the similar one that bugs me because it's something that I do suffer from. No, you person listening, do not have OCD just because you're a neat freak. Go fuck yourself.
Right.
I have breathed 3,217 times today. I know that. I counted every single one of them. You aren't OCD.
No, I agree with that. I hate people who are on the internet. They're like, I'm so OCD because I had to go back and make sure my garage door was shut. No, you just couldn't remember that your garage door was shut. That's not the same thing because you didn't have to open it and shut it three times exactly because otherwise some kind of magical demons were going to come get it.
I will play my minions eventually.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, no, he's a hoarder. Yeah. He has
all I'm opposite hoarder. I'm moving in a month. I went through my apartment twice this last week. I went through boxes. If I haven't taken an item out of the box, I look it up on eBay. Can I sell it for more than $15 for this item? If not, I've been throwing stuff out. I mean, this is an item that is valuable. I could use, but I haven't touched it in a year. Right to the garbage.
And I'm hardcore like that specifically to prevent becoming a hoarder. Like, yeah. Big ones like, I don't save wrapping paper after Christmas. It can be 90% of a roll. I only wrap one present. Fuck it. I'll buy more wrapping paper next year. I'm not going to keep that in my house.
He's a fucking hoarder. I have to throw things out when he's not looking.
I don't appreciate it.
I know. But you don't remember it. That's the thing. You don't remember. No, you don't.
Sometimes I do, and then I get upset.
I told you if you could tell me what books were in your tub of books, you could keep them. And you were like, no, I don't remember what they are, but you can't keep them. Or you can't throw them away. If you throw them away, I'll buy them again. You fucking buy stuff all the time when we go to the store anyway. It doesn't matter.
Grumble?
Moving on. 7 minutes and 58
seconds. Yeah, we're moving really
yeah,
slow.
Yeah, no, it's entertaining.
This is not fast.
Best way to play War Machine with three players.
Don't.
Play four. Add one player.
Add one player. Play four players to play that one scenario where you keep the points in the center.
Or two-headed Zappity. Team.
Grumble. Why no minions battle reports? Hey, guess what?
We're about to record the audio for one. It will be the next release one, right?
No, you don't have one in the chain? There's one that's not out yet.
Okay. 14. Josh and 13 Dan. Is coming, and 14 is after that.
14 will be not only minions, it'll also be fully painted, because some people were grumbling about that.
That's true.
We've had fully painted before.
Yes, but people have been grumbling. So
that's my knee. It's not a freckle.
We've already answered that grumbling.
Zappity.
They want more of it.
Freckles on my knees.
Zappity.
Grumble. Who's going to win the NCAA tourney?
Who cares?
I don't know what that means.
I don't like basketball.
Not Wisconsin.
Nope.
Zappity.
Grumble.
TurboTax or H&R Block?
TurboTax.
H&R Block. I've used H&R Block for 13 years.
H&R Block, you pay like $200. I don't know why you do that.
I pay like 40 or 50 maybe at the most.
Oh. Your taxes are different than mine.
My brother's new one.
I do H&R own a house.
I do yeah. H&R Online. H&R Online.
Oh.
H&R Online's about like
TurboTax. I'm single with no things.
I will do your taxes for $20 and the cost of TurboTax so I can do them.
My brother's new wife is making him do their taxes.
You'll pay me $20 to do my taxes?
Some actual accountant that's going to cost like $400 to get this guy done. And he's like, woman, I will do them myself. I guarantee I won't be off by $400.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing is I was talking about it with my coworker, Andrea. I'm a CPA. And she was like, we just had our taxes done. And so we were like gossiping about it. And I was like, well, I might have it done. Like, send me the name of your accountant. Because then at least they'll have their name on the return as opposed to mine, and it'll be some kind of coverage. And my boss, who is also like a CPA and like all these other initials behind her name, and she's like, that doesn't fucking matter. If you signed the thing, they're coming after you, not the accountant. So it's like, why would you use anything other than online service? Because it's not like you're getting any protection.
Right.
Correct.
Also, H&R Block had that commercial that was like, $1 million went to a federal when they shouldn't have. In Wisconsin specifically, it was like $1 million went to the state that shouldn't have, and they're giving us a return. Or they did give us a return. I don't know. I'm drunk. But
that's why she's so chatty.
But the thing is, the point is, it wasn't because people did their taxes wrong. It's because we were overtaxed. So be very careful when you listen to those commercials about how you didn't do your taxes right and do your research on them.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Know your numbers. your numbles.
Know your numbles. Grumble.
Know your numbles.
Yes. Know your grumbers.
Grumble.
Zappity. And stuff.
So, have you guys seen... This is from Kurt Heinemann. Have you seen Ruby? Heinemann. If not, you need to.
No. I haven't seen your letter yet, and I am very upset about it.
Ruby. It's R-W-B-Y. It's a animated feature.
Oh, yeah, it's like this anime-esque thing, yep. No,
it's an animated feature done by the folks that also did Red vs. Blue.
Yeah, I don't watch
cartoons. I don't watch anime.
It's actually not too bad. I've seen a couple episodes.
Is it Futurama and Family Guy and Simpsons? Then I have not seen it. Or Archer? Sorry.
Nope, it's about a bunch of girls that go to school. It's a school and...
We're not from Springfield, we don't get it.
Stuff.
Stephanie.
Congratulations also on your victory.
Yes, congrats for qualifying.
Hey, we said that two podcasts.
And send us your letter and grumble.
No, I responded to him directly.
Hey, you know, send me a letter about how much you fucking hate us, and then I'll respond to what you have to say.
Gromber.
Right. Yeah, by the way, send the letter. Gatsby 3, yes and no. If yes, what list?
Yes stuff.
No.
Gatsby 3.
But if you want to, talk to Sam.
He's good. Fine. He is an above-average caster. He is definitely tournament viable.
And in Cricks, he's in the bottom third.
No, he's not. He's at the worst, he would be middle
third. He's above-average in Cricks.
He can handle, really? He can handle hordes very well.
But the problem is Cricks has like a hard best four or five casters.
Sure, and he's not
so
in
being
it.
6th through 10th, you're still top half of their faction, but you're not one of those guys.
Right. That's fair.
Yeah. But if you want to mix it up a little, be Chuck-esque and polish. He's not a turd to polish. He's a decent guy. You can definitely do good with him.
Hey, speaking of which, I picked up a lot of poop today because the dog that I adopted had worms, and so they were like, I would really stay on top of this poop. So not only have I picked up a lot of poop because I haven't scooped my yard since fall, a lot of it has had worms in it. Continue.
Thank you, Katie, for that.
Hey, Grumble. I'm glad you said dog poop.
Worms are gross.
I already zappity crumbled. So on to the next one. So
one time my cat had.
Oh my god!
When I got my cat Alfador, he was a stray that some my fiance's coworkers found in a barn, and they're like, "You want a cat? I'm sure I'll take him." He had a tapeworm at the time, and I found that out because 2 inches of it was hanging out of his butthole, and so I had to pull it out like a tape dispenser. True story.
Remember when I was at your house and I was like, "This dog looks like he has worms." He did.
Huh. Good job. Anyway, Andy.
Will we ever get the Nathan rantisode?
Isn't that every episode?
We were going to do one where I literally just was angry for an hour.
Isn't that called Movie Pain Train?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Go watch the RoboCop Pain Train when we release it.
Yeah.
300 was not good.
No, that rant actually lasted about a half really hour, good. Too.
Raylene said it was nice.
Raylene liked it because it had a bunch of abs. If you are a gay man or a straight woman who's really perverted and horny, you'd love 300. You'd still like the first one better, though.
So
that's
I would
the
like
issue.
It, though?
You'd still like the first one better.
Raylene and I should see it again, though?
Sure. You guys can watch it and masturbate and you'll have so much fun.
Also, I lost Raylene's number because all my contacts were... Here's the thing. All my contacts were deleted and I put on Facebook, hey, if I theoretically have your number, give me your number.
And
Andy,
nobody texted
Brian,
you.
Nathan, none of you.
You specifically... I messaged you. We discussed this.
Had a conversation. Okay, fine. You specifically... I was like, no, you have an iPad, so I understand that I still have your number. But you too. And then Andy texted me. He's like, lunch? ? I was like, I fucking hope this is Andy because this is what I'm putting him into my phone as.
Whoops.
Zappity.
Grumble.
I saw the post he made.
That's fine. Travis commented on it and then sent me his fucking number.
Nice.
But Katie, I'm off. Like, there's a guy who sent me a PM asking about my pigs list like 8 months ago, and it still says I have one unread PM because I marked it. I said keep this unread so I remember to respond to it, and it just has been that alert's been there for like 6 months. And like 3 episodes ago, we were talking about video games, and I told somebody, oh, when I'm not phone posting, I'll talk more about why I prefer Fallout New Vegas over Fallout 3. I'm going to have to bump that thread a year from now whenever I get around to doing it.
That's fine. His mom also commented on the thread and he gave me her number. It's fine. Nobody wants me to call them. I understand. Message clear.
Next.
So, Rumble.
So, Long John Silver's closes in 30 minutes and you have just been pulled over for speeding. lengths you go to get out of the ticket or speed up the process.
Have you seen Fargo?
I've never gotten a ticket because every time I've talked to a cop, he said, how fast were you going? And I said, I don't know. And he said, that's cool. I'll just post you as 5 miles over the speed limit and give you a warning. And it's fantastic. Zappity.
By the way, always say, I don't know, because they don't always know how fast you were going. Right. And if you answer, they'll be like, oh, cool, okay.
Yeah.
The worst ticket I ever got one time, I probably shouldn't have said this, but he pulled me over and he says, do you know how fast you're going? And I said, no, the speedometer caps out at 120.
That's what? Why would you say that?
It was the truth.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't have said
it. Hey, you should have said, hey, those two are independent of one another.
I was driving through a fucking there's a highway in the middle of nowhere, going through some cornfields. It's not like it was a school zone.
No, okay, hey, my
20 minutes on like 10
wait a minute,
questions.
Wait a minute. Time my favorite story is my boyfriend had just broken up with me at the time. I was going 90 miles an hour. A cop pulls me over and goes, how fast were you going? Speed limit was 70, by the way. And I said, I don't know. And I had like my pillow and my like, I'm clearly going home to my mommy to cry to her thing. And he was like, oh, okay, well, if you haven't gotten a ticket before, I'll give you a warning for going 4 over the speed limit. It was amazing. I didn't cry or nothing.
Well done.
Thank you. Hey, by the way, I've been broken up with before on air. Apparently. Moving on. Zappity.
Okay, we need
Rumble. We have one more Facebook.
Our 10 questions took 20
One
minutes.
More Facebook.
Okay, one more
that's
Facebook.
It.
You guys are all fired.
Why don't people stop complaining about infantry?
Never.
Whatever.
Why would you complain about infantry? I don't understand the question.
Yeah.
The army is
good and people should actually, you know, support it because they're helping defend our freedoms.
Right now there's a lot more anti-infantry stuff. It'll shift back and forth and back and forth. It's fine. Plus somebody made an interesting point because people were saying, like, this game's supposed to be about giant robots. They posted that picture, the quintessential picture of War Machine with like Haley's army against, I think it's Source's army. Yeah. And there's like 3 jacks and a million fucking infantry models in that picture. And it's like, oh, okay then. Like, even in the fluff, it isn't 10 warjacks and 3 guys fighting each other.
No.
Yeah.
All right, Zappity Grumble.
Yep.
How many Twitters? Should we full-on lightning speed Twitter?
Oh, you guys are apparently incapable of it.
No, we can so. Katie's in the bathroom, so that's Drunky true. McGee's gone. We can lightning speed through the
all right,
Twitters.
All right, here we go.
I know you can hear me, Drunko.
All right. What do you think of Mom Miami? It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's better than Muse.
What secret faction do I spring on my meta in about a year? Signar, Crix, Rhett, or Cock? Rhett, all the way.
Cephalix. That's what you spring on to people.
Whichever one nobody's playing.
Yep.
There you go. Zappity.
I mean, there's not that many factions in War Machine Hordes, and it's, you know, trying not to play the faction that everyone else is playing is almost impossible now.
Yep. True. Protectorate Warcaster you least want to see across the table. With my Legion, it's Ephiora.
I like Sevi.
No, least want to see.
Oh.
Who scares you? Who scares I mean, Harvey's you? Always super solid.
Harvey is annoying. Krios 1 is always annoying.
I do hate the pop and drop.
Freddy yeah. Krueger scares me.
Okay.
That's a valid
good
point.
Deal.
Good.
That video Brian posted on your wall was scary until they showed the monster's face at the end, and I was like, oh, he's funny looking, and then I wasn't scared anymore.
Yeah, I don't know why you keep posting this to my Facebook.
I figured it was an award-winning little 3-minute horse kid, and I figured
the first
appreciate
2.5 were scary
it's
as
still,
shit.
It's still a good little
yeah,
video.
No,
a good,
yeah, I agree with that. Until I saw the face, it was like, oh, what the hell?
Hey, if you were in your bed and I was there, though,
oh,
was,
yeah.
Oh, was, hey, yeah, that would be scary.
So tonight, we
there's
your
a reason
off.
Why Jeremy has to turn off the lights after I'm already in bed, and it's because my dad was like, yeah, I used to be scared that if I had my hand hanging over the bed, then somebody would grab me and pull me under the bed. Thank you, Dad.
I love that I posted that 20, it was a two-sentence,
Oh, those,
yeah,
the
those
two
set
the horror stories.
Those are some really good ones.
Some of them were really
like
good.
Like the kid was like, there's someone under my bed. He looks like, Dad, there's someone on my bed.
Yeah. Some of those were really good.
Yeah.
Some of them were not.
But more were good than, I mean,
that
for,
is true.
For yeah, two sentences, it was pretty amazing.
Jeremy won 2 in a row. Sign of the Apocalypse or not?
Yeah, man, probably not.
Oh, no, he's been trying real hard.
Hard work pays off, people. Hey, if Jeremy can win a tournament, you can win a tournament. Jeremy, you're like, I can,
that
I
is
could,
true.
Yeah.
That is 100% true.
The bar has been lowered.
A lot.
Yeah.
Jeremy's a great example of you can be an incompetent, obnoxious, stupid piece of crap, but if you play this game enough, you'll eventually get good at
and
it.
And if your wife lets you go to the house a couple weeks in a row, finally, then you can actually practice. It all comes together.
Let's you in the house?
Let's you out of the house.
Let's you out of the house to practice.
Oh, out of the house.
Let's you in the house.
Let's you in the house.
I mean, a little calm A, a little calm
Zappity.
Grumble.
I have a friend who liked the RoboCop remake. When is the review up so I can send it to him?
Soon-ish,
why would you do that?
Probably. I don't know. Andy, do we have a time? Is it done-ish?
It's on its way.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to try to have it done by Tuesday this week.
Your friend is wrong.
Yeah.
It's true. I would recommend
to be perfectly honest, if you have not seen RoboCop at all, and that's all you've seen of RoboCop, I guess it's not that horrible of a movie.
But the first movie is so good.
I disagree.
I hate it on its own merit.
Even if it wasn't called RoboCop,
that is a shitty movie.
I give zero craps about the quality of the remake quality of it. It's just a bad movie on its own. It failed without having any kind of remake.
You could have called that Cyberman and have nothing to do with RoboCop, like, hey, and it was shit. Ooh, hi there. Katie's giving me a, give me a back rub.
Is that okay?
What country would you most like to travel to and play War Machine in?
Oh, you're literally just fucking tearing my muscles off.
I want to go to Australia and play War Machine. I want to take a month off work and just travel Australia playing War Machine.
I agree.
So if you're from Australia, you want to have places for us to stay, I will come.
And pay for a $2,000 plane ticket.
I've seen a lot of Australian horror movies, and I don't like the kind of crazy shit that goes on in your country.
Like Black Sheep?
Black Sheep's a good one. I'm telling you, if you watch a lot of horror movies, Australian horror is just off the fucking charts. Crazy.
Undead?
Yeah, Undead, and that's even a more tame version of their horror movie.
That's almost like a comedy.
Yeah, I mean, but some of their shit is just like, holy mother
Hey, God. You know what movie I liked was the girl chick cave movie that you gave me.
You're welcome.
The Descent?
The Descent.
The Descent.
Did you have her watch the American version, then say, now watch 10 more seconds and show her the rest of the movie?
We showed her how it ended, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My favorite Australian movie isn't a horror movie, it's called The Castle. You should watch The Castle.
You're a fucking castle.
If you had to witness a remake, what movie would it be? It can be something that hasn't existed yet.
The Last Unicorn.
Voltron.
I don't even know. Nathan, I need a...
I don't...
Come up with a remake that you want to watch.
Grumble.
Oh, Eyes Wide Shut.
Thank you.
Why would you take your thing away from me?
Fistful of Dollars is a great remake.
No. Well, that works too. It said existing is fine.
It said, yeah.
I don't want to see it, but it's going to happen. We're going to see a Dirty Harry remake.
Yes, that'll happen.
It's so horrible.
All right. Why is P. Magnus the worst? Because of his reliance on upkeeps, question mark?
Because he doesn't have a feet and feets are good?
Because he's fucking terrible?
Because he pees.
I agree with Nate. His feet is horrible.
Even P. Morvana has a feet. She also falls over to purification.
Hmm. Yeah, he's relies on upkeep. That is true, but also shit feet.
Yep. What do you do not to go on tilt during a tournament?
Nathan?
I go on tilt. Because once I'm on tilt, I can't go on tilt. That's I'm already true. There.
I lose yeah, you first can't round.
You can't reapply that.
Yeah.
That particular debuff.
Debuff again.
It's an upkeep.
It's an upkeep caused by dice rolling. Yes.
I honestly don't tend to go on tilt at tournaments. Like, it's just not something I struggle with. I get pissed afterwards, but that's
hey,
different.
Speaking of which, we've done a personality test at work. I'm an S.
You just take 10 seconds. You breathe, take 10 seconds.
Good, quick, fun two-player board game to play with my wife. To play with my wife.
War of the Ring, screw it. 3 hours sure. is quick. Done. She'll love it. She'll appreciate you more.
Checkers.
Hey, That's My Fish, Mr. Jack. Other great two-player games. Love Letter is two-player. Depends how fluffy you want to get. But Hey, That's My Fish is the greatest game ever designed. So
I don't have a significant other, so I cannot comment.
Tag. No, play tag. You get to, I play it in the water. It's a lot of fun. You don't swim very well.
Carcassonne. So and moving on. After Jeremy wins the next turn, will he call it his hat trick, a three-peat, or will he just shout bang, bang, bang at people?
You know,
I am now going to shout bang, bang, bang at people because that's amazing.
Tinking with the bell.
All right.
And we're done. We're so done.
We should probably really go fast with the recommendations.
I recommend vodka.
True.
Full
statement.
Circle.
True.
That's a very good cohesiveness there.
Nate?
I recommend Unforgiven. Ooh. I previously recommended The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And so now I'm going to go bookmarks here and say the complete opposite film that talks about that style of film, Unforgiven, is a masterpiece. I also really love the scene about the Duck of Death.
The Duck of Death. I don't remember that.
Cool, because English Bob, you know, he's there and he's arrested. He's got his author, and the author has written a book for him called The Duke of Death. And so Little Bill is explaining the reality of these things, and he keeps, quote-unquote, accidentally misreading it as The Duck of Death, but he's actually just doing it on purpose to piss off English Bob. But it's just an amazing movie. It takes the mythos of the Western hero and shows a more realistic slant on it while still being fantastical.
Yeah, it's a very good film. Yep.
It deserved every goddamn Oscar it won, and more.
Brian?
Nothing happened to me this week worth recommending.
Valid
point.
Oh, side note, sorry. Last week, because people stole each other's recommendations, I said Diablo 3 in the thread. I retroactively recommended Hey Ash, What You Playing? So for anybody who listens but doesn't look at the threads, I recommend Hey Ash, What You Playing? It's a series of YouTube videos.
And I decided I'll add a recommendation. I'll recommend, I just finished watching season 2 of Banshee. Which is
Son of a fucking bitch!
That was
amazing.
Last time, final episode so was happy. Done last night, and it's now done. So that's a recommendation.
Andy?
What? What do you have? Would you like to recommend?
Andy. Andy.
Fucking Banshee. Seriously.
I even passed. It's because of Nathan. I
you were going to pass. I'm like thinking, it's like, oh, God, I'm gonna get it. I'm going to be able to recommend Banshee. And no.
You're welcome.
Well, I previously recommended season 1. Now I can say season 2 was a good, worthy follow-up.
Yeah. I didn't watch Banshee for the first season. I kind of avoided it because it seemed – I originally thought it was like a supernatural type –
Type Banshee type show.
They fought Banshees.
Yeah, I kind of thought it was something like that, and then I realized after I started watching the first season that it was nothing like that. Yeah. Second season, I almost feel, since I watch it kind of a marathon, I almost feel that the second season is better overall because it just has more sex and more violence.
Katie, has a question?
Patrick Berdeen.
Okay.
Recommend him?
No, I don't recommend him. I've already seen that video. Thank you, though.
What are you talking about?
What video?
He just posted something on Facebook.
What are you babbling about, woman?
Okay. All right, Jan, what do you recommend?
Oh, my God. I had something, and now I've lost it in whatever that was.
Your battle report, you guys are going to do.
This is going to be awesome.
Oh, my God. I had a thing
just
that I was
going to... Just keep drinking more vodka, Katie.
I've lost it. I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm out.
Oh, Patrick Berdeen is some apparent listener who posted something on Katie's wall.
You guys know Patrick?
Posts a lot.
He's gonna be like, they don't know who I am. He's a good guy.
Oh, he's a good guy. He said he's apparently a listener. Yeah, I know he's a good guy.
He's a writer.
I legitimately have a recommendation. I recommend.
Who cares?
I'm done.
And thanks for listening to episode 16
of Crippled System. Bye.
Yeah, you can recommend.
No, I'm done.
Oh no, you go, dear.
No, I'm done now.
Your opinions matter a lot.
Hey, Jeremy, yeah. You can't steal my routine.
It's too late.
Bang, bang, bang! Recommend something
with the trolley.
Triple B.
I recommend comforters instead of blankets. If you've never experienced how amazing a comforter is versus just a blanket on your bed, have a comforter. No, we've recommended that. You've literally recommended that before.
Jeremy.
What?
You said come.
You've been hanging out with Katie.
High five.
All right.
I'm going to
thank you for listening.
Bye, Brian.
Bye,
I'm
peeing.
I peed twice.
I'm peeing right now.
Ever?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Like semen.
Wow, what? This game recap is going to be just atrocious.
This is fantastic. I'm going to drink so much more vodka.
You put your things together here now.
Ooh, that's so I can get double shots.
Okay.
Wow, this is going to happen.
I'm still recording.
Why? That sounds like nonsense.
Katie's getting really touchy-feely with me over here. She gets drunker, and it's a thing that's happening.
It's a thing that's happening.